Good morning and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM's phone number. We'll talk to you. We're feeling vulnerable. Teresa Strasser, good morning.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Danny Bonaducci, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Carolla. Good morning, Ann Bryan.
Well, let's see. First off, I'd like to thank Teresa Strasser for bringing over a big basket of cookies and muffins and...
Milk.
Milk as well.
It's
for Mother's Day.
I wondered if you were going to be upset about that.
You know, I have mixed feelings about it, but I ate about 17 of the cookies, so... every time I feel ill will toward you, I'll just belch. And I'll remember the good times, T.
Can I tell you briefly, as I was ordering the cookies, the woman on the phone said, "Are you the Teresa Strasser from the Adam Carolla show?" And I said, yes, I am. And she said, "Oh, I love that show." And then as I was writing out the card, you know, telling her what I wanted to say, it said, you know, "Happy Mother's Day. Can't wait to meet the twins." And she stopped me and said, "Why haven't you met the twins?"
Oh, it's a good point.
And I said, "I don't know."
Well... have you ever been to my house?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, we should do something about
that. How long have you two been working together?
A year and 3 months, but who's counting?
How many times have you been to my house?
I'd say about 4 months.
I've worked with you about 3 months. How many times have you been to my house?
A few.
Huh. 28 times.
Babysat the kids, washed my dog.
The important thing is I wanted to send something for Mother's Day because it's Lynette's first Mother's Day, and I hope it was a good one.
Yeah, we had a good time, except for two things. A, your basket was fine. It was fine. But Ozzy sent over two bouquets of roses. And then my sister came over with her kids, my nephews, who I adore. And my sister must have asked three times, "So what'd you guys do today? What'd you do today?" And my wife kept saying, "Well, this is about it." And then 20 minutes later, she'd go, "So what are you doing today? What are you going to do? What are you doing today?" Yeah. And the point is the whole there's two things about birthdays, Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever the occasion is. It can either slide under the radar or somebody can stand there next to you going, "What are you doing? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" In which case you have to look at your feet and go, you know how we're standing in my house, you're asking me, "What are we doing today?"
Yeah.
This isn't a hologram. we're not on the top of the Eiffel Tower toasting. We're here answering, "What are we going to do today?" for the fourth time.
Right.
Which is evidently what we're doing.
And let me just preface this by saying I have forgotten Gretchen's birthday and anniversary for 14 years probably.
Mm-hmm.
But the answer on that is kind of cool. The way I mostly, up until I got here somehow.
Every day?
It's her birthday.
Ah,
there's flowers and candy and presents every single day of her life. There's coffee in bed every single morning. It's the way I know my
life.
And I kind of almost refuse those two. Why am I going to act differently
every
on those two?
Right.
When every day's your birthday.
But what's your answer when I say everyone's a genius?
I say you're stupid.
Right. No one's a genius.
Well, can I say
it's kind of the same argument
for
with her birthday.
This Mother's Day thing, though.
Yeah.
Normally, I would be the ass. Gretchen was the so total ass on Mother's Day.
What'd she do?
Well, remember her favorite thing in the whole world's fondue. She takes the girls out to fondue. Well, the melting pot was going to give me $250 worth of gift certificates to fondue. So that's not really the Mother's Day present, right? Gift certificates.
I got $100. Interesting.
Well, they gave me $100, and then there was $150 sitting on there, and I took it. So I stole 33% of it.
All right.
66%. So... I said, "Here's my Mother's Day present when I get home. Here's all this fondue. Take every mother you know and drop the kids off with me."
Oh, that's nice.
I'll take all the house full of kids. I'll get help if I need help. But you and all the mothers in the world go have your favorite thing in fondue. And she said, "That is so sweet and that is so nice." And then she came down the next day, Saturday, the day before Mother's Day, went, "Oh, a bunch of people had to cancel, so I'm going to go to the Renaissance Fair with Kristen." And I said, "Okay." And that was it for a minute. And when she came back down, I went, "Are you aware that you have children and the father of children and it's Mother's Day?" And she went, "Oh, well, you weren't going to go to this thing." I said, "No, I wasn't going to go. I was going to stay home and you were going to go and I was going to babysit. That was the gift." She goes, "Oh, Yeah, Isabella doesn't like this thing. So me and her other kids sat home on Mother's Day while she went out.
Did you get your fondue certificates back?
No. What am I going to do? I was just really like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Let me ask this. Since when did coupons or gift certificates count for 1/10 of their value to the person you're awarding them to?
I don't know. I had a big fight with
something. Something happened. Like, you go out and you spend $200 and you get someone a gift certificate to Bed Bath & Beyond or Music Plus. Us or whatever, and then 3 years later, you're like, hey, whatever happened to that thing? They're like, I don't know. I may have, I rolled it up, I did a couple rails with it, and then I think I wiped my ass with it and tossed it. And you're like, you know, that was $200 at one time to somebody. Yeah, I don't know. I think I picked my teeth with it, and then I made an origami swan out of it, and then I think I just chucked it. Well, like, really? Can it really?
It's like health clubs that way. You make your money that people that don't show up.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I know. My wife constantly tells me, like, I'll go, what happened to that? We got a wedding gift for you to get some cooking lessons from some place and whatever. And she's like, yeah, that expired. I said, well, somebody spent $500 on something. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really just goes to show you how human beings work, which is if someone hands you $500, you'll take a bullet for it. But if they hand you $500 worth of gift certificate, it's not worth the paper it's printed on.
My old partner wouldn't use them. She said it was humiliating.
I'm amazing that checks ever took off. I'm amazed that paper money ever took off in this country. I understand when people give you $20 worth of gold, it was $20 worth of gold. Now they give you a penny worth of paper that's supposed to be worth $20 worth of gold. I'm telling you, if my wife was in the first wave of settlers here, the paper money would have never taken off. It would have been, what happened to that money?
That hard money.
I fanned myself with it for a while, and then I lit a cigar, and then I can't remember what happened after that. Yeah, so the gift certificate and the gift certificate that you get from somebody at work and then pass along is worth less than nothing to the person. Oh, they'll use it.
Maybe.
Maybe you'll get no thanks for it.
Well, I've got a question about Gretchen, because yesterday I went over and over this in my mind. I really want to send her flowers, but then I thought, what if Danny reads this as my taking her side or if he's offended? And I didn't know what to do, so I didn't.
You know what? That is a reasonable question, but I'm going with no sides on this. I really don't. Because personally, like, my best friends in the whole wide world are in this room for real. And if it comes down to it, no matter what you write my wife
except
or my son, my ex-wife.
Except for Brian.
Well, I really like Gretchen.
No, she's a great girl, so everybody likes Gretchen.
I like Gretchen, but you're my friend.
Right. If this breaks down to picking sides, you're on mine.
That's going
to
dignify that with a response, Brian. You're such a zero.
It's going to break down to, it's a gimme, you come to my team. That's not a real thing.
I just didn't want you to interpret as...
No, her friends keep trying with cute little notes to me sometime. How you doing? Just checking in. Blah, blah, blah. I just prefer they didn't.
You're losing your hair?
We have another Danny on line one. Danny?
Hey, good morning.
What's happening, Danny?
Nothing. I just want to say good morning. And, yesterday for Mother's Day, I took my wife and my two kids. We went to Dodger game. Saw the Dodgers whoop on the Reds.
That's nice.
Had, like, dugout seats, man. And, stuff is on at the ballpark, how expensive everything is.
Yeah.
Sure. So you had a good time.
I thought we had a good time. I guess I bought her one too many $12 tall cans.
I'm over.
We got back home and she passed out, so I cooked dinner, I put the kids to bed, got up, driving to work, and before I got up she wakes up in the middle of the night telling me, oh, I didn't do nothing for her for Mother's Day because she wanted her nails done and this and that. And I was like, man, the nerve of this broad, you know?
Great story. Telling the rich.
You guys sound like a delight. Shocking, you're calling from Canoga Park.
I used to do that with me and my daughter, Gretchen. We'd all go get our toes done.
Well,
we were a cute family. I don't know where it all went to hell. Probably me cheating, lying, and smoking and taking drugs, but maybe not.
Let me say this. For those who are constantly disappointed, they're those, thanks, Danny. Not that Danny, this Danny. All people named Danny, thank you, is what I want to say. We've all been with those people. We all have them in our families, and we've all dated them at one time or another. The constant disappointment people.
Yeah.
The ones who, no matter what you do, it's all, when it gets put through their processor, it'll be, geez, you got me flowers, but no vase. Gee, we went out to dinner, but Tony Roma's? Come on. I mean, we went out to dinner, but you ordered first, or you took me out on Mother's Day. You took me to a play. Sure, but it's your favorite play. It's not, you know, there's that sort of, when you put something through that crap processor, right, and it'll spit out every time, got gypped, got less than I deserved. Here's another disappointment. It's a disappointment. You know, the people that are constantly disappointed. I don't know that you can ever put together anything that's not going to come out is a little bit of a disappointment.
I don't know that I agree, because I am the Mo of romance. I put the Mo in romance.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a Mo in romance? Mm-hmm. If there's not, there will be. What are you doing with
it? Yeah.
From my aunt's funeral, who I loved and adored and who took me in. But I haven't seen her in 10 years, so I wasn't a broken up man or anything. I just loved her.
Mm-hmm.
And people, and, you know, I'm going through a very hard time in my personal life with the woman I love. And I sent flowers home. And the card said, I'm at my aunt's funeral. And people keep coming up and saying, are you all right? And I say, I just miss her. Mm-hmm. But I'm not talking about who they think I am. Love, Danny.
Oh.
I don't see how you miss with that mark.
Well, you
seriously
don't.
Seriously weeping when you write it.
You don't, but you didn't win her back because of it.
I didn't say I sent him to her.
Ooh. Interesting. And were they well received?
Yep. I didn't say that either.
Ooh. Is there?
Just trying to add a little mystery to my life.
Ooh. Oh.
The woman who got them, since I'm not afraid, the woman who got them knows who they were for. But sometimes when I have a great idea like that, I really, you know, that was a good one.
That's,
I said,
strong.
It was from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
And then I thought, how many people I know would really appreciate this?
I am just saying, of course, I've never not disappointed anyone on a big holiday. But if you are poised for disappointment, you will find it. If you're poised for anything, you'll find it.
Yeah,
I mean,
the opposite is true. Like, if you give my dad a shiny red apple, he's thrilled.
Yeah, I mean, they're the others that are just...
You have to wipe the drool off his chin after he eats it.
They're the others that are just... You wind his beanie, he eats the apple, everyone is happy.
He's just a happy guy.
I want to go to Hawaii.
He's not retarded.
Yeah, and my dad is a guy that if you bought him the Queen Mary, the luxury liner,
right,
and towed it to the front of his house and said, Dad, I got you this for Father's Day. I know you've always wanted a boat. Well, I got you the biggest one money could buy. He'd look at it, do this, say that's nice, and then say, you want to come in and have a cup of Sanka, and you turn around and walk in the house, and then you'd say, Dad, don't you want to go see the ship? And he'd go, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, maybe later. Let's finish our Sanka. That's what my dad,
would do. I think I overdo it, that I would waste your time. After my first thing, I'd go, my God, son, you brought me the Queen Mary. I don't know what to say to you. That I never knew you knew I wanted something even remotely like that, let alone the Queen Mary. But I'd go on forever till how grateful I actually am, I believed, was believed. And the only way to be, in my opinion, is to take reality and times it by three.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you get, what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be grateful all day. And then maybe the next day, wake up and first thing and draw a picture of the Queen Mary and put my boy.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm one of those guys.
Yeah, not my pops. Not into stuff.
Bet your pops don't get laid as often as I do.
He doesn't notice. All right, where the hell were we? That's right. We need to take a break. Let's keep the Mother's Day theme going. Well, here, Mother's Day, we could talk about Mother's Day stories, but I'd rather just have scraps with your mom. I like to hear stories about you and mom. I like to hear your best blowout with mom.
Wow.
I'd like to hear about mom catching you with your girlfriend or with your boyfriend when you thought she was at work, but she came home for lunch and saw you two banging away on the kitchen countertop. I want to hear about the time you got suspended and your mom had to come pick you up. I want to hear about time you got drunk and told your mom what you thought, or she got drunk and told her.
Do you want any callers, or do you want me to just do all the rest?
We'll sprinkle some callers in. 866-901-ADAM. I want to know.
It's 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, I would
don't
like
leave
to.
Leave me hanging.
I would like to know about big blowouts involving mom. I'm going to I'll see if I can summon one. My mom is in Europe as we speak, so there's no chance that she can hear any of my conversation. Not that she's a regular listener, but there is the off chance. You never know.
See, my mom's in mourning, which makes this more fun.
All right. Well, we'll do it next. Blowouts with Mom on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Black Jack celebrated MILF Day at his bachelor pad yesterday. And hey, if anyone knows how to get Grecian formula and Astroglide out of shag carpeting, I'm all ears. From Saturday Night Live and Anchorman, actor David Koechner, Frank Vincent of The Sopranos, the best and worst prom songs on Music Monday, and Ozzy and Ray review Georgia Rule. Is today's show off the hook? Yeah, it is.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah. It was Mother's Day yesterday. Told my wife when the basket of goodies showed up from Teresa Strasser. I said, yeah, I feel bad because I evidently didn't get Teresa anything for Christmas. Although I swear I got you a bottle of something to drink. But maybe
that was
I told...
my birthday.
Maybe, all right. Maybe then not... December 25th, you weren't born on December 20th, you're not June Jesus 8th. Christ?
No.
Well,
there was some drinking going on at the Christmas show when gifts were being exchanged.
Oh, there was.
Involving your people that maybe used to work here.
Because, yeah, one of the reasons my old assistant Lindsay isn't here is because Lindsay used to like to do things like, I'd say, hey, call this trainer guy I'm working out with and tell him I can't make it on Wednesday because I got a business meeting. She'd say, all right. Then I'd come home Wednesday afternoon from the business meeting. I'd have three messages from the guy going, I'm at the gym. It's noon. I don't know. Are we going to meet at your house or are we going to go to the gym? I don't know where you are, Adam. Call me when you, whatever. And then I would say to Lindsay the next day, hey, I told you to call the trainer guy and cancel the mission. She'd say, I did. I called him. You called him. He left three messages from the gym on Wednesday. Yeah, I called him. What time? About 2 on Wednesday? Right. You can't call after the appointment to cancel the appointment. Right. It's. I mean, you can, technically.
Yeah, you
physically, I can't stop you. I must pay him. But it's best to do it in the couple days before the appointment comes along. So sometimes there was some ball dropping, and maybe there was some libation imbibing or something.
Oh, she might have sipped my gift?
Perhaps it just went into another basket or something like that, because I would not leave you out. But my wife, who maybe has been living with me too long now, when I said, I feel bad. I got this basket here for Mother's Day from Teresa, and I didn't get her anything, you know, for Christmas last year. And she jumped in. She said she got to keep her job.
And I said, wow. Your wife plays like
said,
my wife.
Wow, baby.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Yeah.
It's great. I finally poisoned your well. Fantastic, because a year and a half ago you would have went, you didn't get Teresa anything, you better go get some, baby. But now it's like she kept her job, didn't
a job
she?
Is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, wow. It is, for the time being.
Created a monster. Fantastic. Get to sleep with a monster every night.
I remember those days.
AJ's on the phone from Palm Springs. AJ?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Your mom bit you in the face?
Yeah, but...
on it?
I had told the screener like 5 times. He's like, she did what? So I was like 9 years old. It was Mother's Day. We were going. She took me to the mall. She gave me a couple bucks to go to the arcade. And as soon as I ran out, I was bored. So I started wandering around the mall. And then, you know, eventually security finds me. And she was so pissed off that when, you know, when she saw me, and she was so just, you know, beside herself. We're riding on the escalator, and she bit me right on the face.
Wow.
And it gets better. There's this old couple behind us, you know, on the escalator, and the woman goes, can you believe what that woman just did to her son? She goes, shut up, lady, or I'll do it to you, too.
Well, biting is a nice sort of a low-profile way to physically abuse your kid in a mall, because you backhand the kid, and your hand goes sailing out, and 5 people take a picture of it with a cell phone. But the biting looks like you're, you know, leaning over and whispering something or getting something off their cheek, and you just dig into them.
Not if you're married to her, or your dad happens to be Hannibal Lecter.
No.
Plus, it's a silent kill. I mean, with the smack, you hear it across the mall.
That's right.
Around the world.
That's right. It's your Marine sniper with a silencer on your gun, and you're 2 miles away from the hot zone when you squeeze the trigger.
11,1200 feet, something like that. That's a serious shot.
When the mom turns the bonnet backwards, that means she's going in for the bite kill. All right.
Has everybody been,
thanks, man. Has everybody been bit by a parent?
No, I've been hit by parents.
I've been bit by parents.
You've been bit by parents. Hard, yeah. Your own parents.
I had to stop myself from that being a thing I did.
Really?
Yeah.
My dad would, because you're like so in, you're submissive at that point. You're not going anywhere. Your dad's got your whole nose in his mouth, and you believe he'll disfigure you forever. He'll bite your nose off. Mm-hmm. He's told you flat out, I'll bite your nose off. Now you listen to me. And then
really?
Face your mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's one of those, you know, normally you tell your kids, like, don't run with those scissors. You'll poke your eye out or put that BB gun away. You're going to shoot somebody in the ear or something. But usually it's something you're going to do to yourself, not I will bite your
nose off. Yeah.
Don from Phoenix has a nice one. Don?
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
What'd your mom do to you?
Oh, we were out at the lake, and my father and younger brother had to go back for a prior obligation. So my mother and I were out there, of course, with some friends, and she ended up buying us beer. We ended up drinking, and she hooked up with another guy.
Now, is that other guy a friend of yours?
Oh, no. Just some guys we picked up.
In the woods?
Oh, no, no. On the houseboat out in the lake.
Same thing. Floating woods.
Right. And how old was the guy? Was he your mom's age?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was 35, 40, a little bit younger than my mom at the time. I just freaked.
How do you know? Well, I guess there's not much getting away with humping on a houseboat, because when the entire boat is rocking.
Don't bother knocking.
That's right. Up top. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know exactly if they did the quote-unquote deed, but there was a lot of macking going on, stuff like that.
In front of you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, now,
and I absolutely lost my mind. Ended up kicking the other two guys off the boat, and my dad came back Monday morning from his obligation, and mm-hmm. ended up telling him, and it did not go too well.
By the way, his obligation was banging his secretary.
That's right.
But now your mom sounds like an alcoholic, because this is the work of an alcoholic. First off, you have the river or the lake, then you have the houseboat, then you have the buddies, then going on a beer run for the underage kids, and then right. picking up a townie and bringing them back to the houseboat and macking out in front of the kids.
A townie. I didn't even know that word. I didn't even know the word townie. You're from L.A.
There was a sitcom that Molly Ringwald was in like 1992.
Yes, there was.
Townies. I had the magnet for my refrigerator.
Somebody was rich, somebody was poor, and she was a townie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Your mom, she liked to do a little boozing?
No, actually, at the time, she was going through some cancer, she was having a rough issue with
some cancer.
Sure. A lot of people just take chemo. They don't bang strangers on a houseboat. But
we all deal with grief differently.
And also, that's Western medicine.
Right.
You know, that's a man filling you with chemicals. The more Eastern philosophy way to go is get the townie under the houseboat.
So did your dad forgive her since she was going through some medical problems?
Yes and no. She's deceased now, so, I guess they did.
It's still...
He hooked up with somebody else, so I don't know.
Right. Again, I know your mom had cancer, but it doesn't mean she can't be an alcoholic. It just seems like...
You know what? Even though somebody...
She did definitely have some problems with alcohol, but she never drank in front of me until that day.
You know, all right. Just I'm thinking that on a houseboat...
Thanks, Don. Good times.
Like in a scary situation, you go through like this fog. Because me and my friends, Joe Lando and his wife and my wife, we rented this houseboat. It went really bad. It went really bad. There were windstorms. It was scary. We bashed up against rocks.
Right.
But in my head, I see that family and the mom who has cancer and is drinking and boning townies. And then dad picked up something else. I just see the boat rolling through this misty fog and coming out the other side. And that whole family is sterilized.
Mm.
And will never breed again.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Be nice.
I'm afraid I've learned that from you, man.
Be nice.
I look at whole groups of people and just go, I should just sterilize you.
Well,
I cannot believe I've learned something evil. First of all, that I'm past the age there's anything else I can possibly learn that's evil.
The kids
have learned it from you.
The kids of chaos, which wouldn't be the bad name for a book, but the kids of chaos, just more chaos.
But
just
look, some of us turn out okay. I mean, Bonaducci's dad tried to bite his nose off. And Bonaducci's a creative guy with great kids.
That's actually a low on the totem pole story for Joe Bonaducci, too, by the way.
Some of the kids of chaos turn out creative and interesting.
Yeah, I know, but it's a numbers game, and I'm sorry, you two are going to have to go. Ryan?
Hello?
Ryan calling from Las Vegas?
Yep, that's me.
What is your story?
Man, I'll make it quick. I was having sex with this chick in my room. My mom caught me, told the girl she never wanted to see her again, caught me a second time in the laundry room getting at it. Told the girl if she ever saw her again, she'd kill her. Then she popped me in the mouth a couple of times, called the girl's mom to tell her how much of a whore she was. Ended up on her answer machine, and she's sitting there getting all holy on me, quoting scriptures, popping me in the mouth for about a half an hour on the girl's answer machine to her mom.
How do you get caught in the laundry room?
I lived in an apartment out here in Vegas, and the laundry room's on the patio as opposed to inside the house.
Uh-huh. So you went down to the coin-op laundry room.
I know, this one's actually a part of the apartment. It's just on the patio.
Oh, I see. I see. I miss those. You know, it's been a while since I've done the coin op wiggle. Yeah. That was always a weird, Ryan?
Yeah.
Good times. What are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm a truck driver. I'm actually running a little late for work. I drive a concrete mixer.
Oh. Those concrete mixers, I always think to myself, if one of those things ever fell over and it was full, whatever was beneath it would just be the size of a nickel on some train tracks. I mean, they must. What do you weigh? What does that weigh when you're fully loaded?
If you figure you got 11 yards, that's about 4,000 pounds a yard plus your truck.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do the plus truck math. You want Teresa to do that? What's your truck weigh? What, like
you're looking
10
at
tons?
Good, you're looking at a good 60 or 80.
60 or 80. All right. This has been fruitful, right? Look,
before we go any further, I've got to apologize to everybody.
The cement truck, by the way, you know how the cement comes out of the cement truck without it moving?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Do people know that?
What do you mean?
Right.
I don't.
The truck doesn't move forward?
What I mean is the cement truck has that barrel
yes.
in the back, and
spins.
The barrel's constantly turning to keep the stuff from setting up, right?
Right.
And then at a certain point, they hit a button, and the cement comes out of the back of the barrel, yet the barrel doesn't move.
Oh, no, I didn't really think about that. I assumed the barrel poured it out by turning.
You do, and I always thought that was how it worked, too. But if you picture it, you've never seen a cement truck with the barrel up. The barrel just sits in the direction, you know, down at a 45-degree angle.
No.
It's always at that.
The cement truck with the barrel down looks like a cement truck with the barrel down. The cement truck with the barrel up would look like some sort of insect waiting to mate.
But I like that. But the point
that.
Is you've never seen a cement truck with the barrel
no.
down. You only see cement coming out of it. The way it works, and I love a diabolically simple idea that hasn't changed in 100 years, which is inside of the barrel are these guides, these fins inside that wrap around the barrel that are, let's say, clockwise. They spin around like rifling in the barrel of a gun. When the cement truck is on the way to the job, the thing is turning counterclockwise. Thus, those tracks don't get any traction. When it gets to the job, it stops and the barrel turns the opposite direction. When it turns the opposite direction, the stuff gets onto these tracks and starts feeding out of the back.
Right.
So meaning one direction, nothing, just stuff falling on top of each other. Other direction makes this sort of circular kind of ledge that keeps feeding its way out of the back of the barrel. Can you dig it?
Yeah,
or am I confusing?
No, I'm following you.
T?
Yeah.
Confusing?
Yes.
This is damn exciting.
You know what I'm talking about?
Where it came from, though.
I just wish this show would stop being so salacious.
He said his cement truck he was talking about.
11 yards. Yeah. Oh, no. Right. I got that.
Right. Now, T, did I explain that?
Mom.
Did I explain that correctly?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
unless your mom was a total bitch and you buried her in concrete in the backyard, though, I'm not getting the entire purpose of that.
I just wanted to ask him about his concrete truck, although it was my fault for asking a question. Mom had him arrested when he was 15. All right, let's try that one. Tony?
Yes?
What'd you do at age 15?
Well, I had some snakes, and my mother had some kittens, and I didn't like the kittens, so I tried to feed them to my snakes.
Was this before or after Hebrew school?
And she went ballistic, so she called the Humane Society.
How did she catch you trying to feed the kittens?
Well, she walked into the garage while I was doing it.
Mm-hmm. How old are you now, Tony?
I'm 62.
Uh-huh. How did life go for you?
Well,
I say did because I want to know, you know, the time to be married, the time for promotions, the time for graduate degrees and things like that are sort of in the rear view. So how did life treat you, Tony?
Well, after that, there was a little bit of harshness, but...
jail time?
It worked out all right.
How many years ago was it?
Pardon?
How many years ago was it?
It was 1962.
You could do anything to an animal up until about 1995.
Right.
I mean, since then.
Yeah, and they use these things as sort of precursor crimes. The guys that torture insects and things end up being serial killers. Yeah. So, Tony.
Yes.
What did you end up doing in life?
Well, actually, I'm a manager of a bird store in the valley.
Why are they harder to feed to anacondas?
Ironic. And so everything turned out okay?
Yes.
Well, Tony, maybe it wasn't that you hated the kittens, but you just loved your snakes.
Well, that was the point. I didn't have money to go buy rats, and these kittens were available. And but she had the animal regulations guys come out, and she wanted me arrested.
Oh, all right. And
so they fined me $200.
A lot of
money.
My
mother wouldn't give me a dime, so I had to work all summer.
And why would your mother give you a dime for trying to feed her puss to the cat?
Well, you think she would, you know.
Right.
Kick a little in?
Me.
Right.
And even years later, when people would come over, she goes, you know, he'd have those damn snakes. And
well, be honest. You work with birds now, right?
Yes.
Birds hate people, do they not?
No, not really.
Yes, oh, really? I've never, really. I've never met a bird that didn't try to bite its owner when it reached into the cage.
Well, sometimes, but
I've never met a girl I like that had a bird either.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a good point.
I walk in the house, there's a bird. There's certain things that say, nope, not you. I told you before, more than 10 stuffed animals on your bed and you're over 25 years old.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're done to
one
me.
One bird.
Right there. A bird's a huge turnoff to
How
me.
How many cats?
Two and a half.
Well, the only thing is I made an exception on a cat girl.
Literally a half.
Because normally I would say a cat. Yeah, mm-hmm. a dead cat. And I'm cool. But I made an exception on a cat girl once. So I can't be honest with you.
I'm trying to think, like, the pecking order, you know, dog, cat, bird, fish are fine.
Ferret?
Ferret's bad, although chicks don't have ferrets. Guys have ferrets because guys use ferrets to attract chicks.
Right.
They get a ferret.
There's any novelty animal.
Then they walk down the Venice Beach boardwalk and they wait for chicks to come up and talk to the ferret. Unfortunately, they have to talk to them to get to the ferret.
Right.
Birds, chicks have birds. Bird people, there's two types of bird people. There's the bird person that has a bird, enjoys the bird, and keeps the bird in their home. And then there's the person that has the bird that insists on bringing the bird everywhere they go.
Right.
Those are the ones I definitely can't hang with. The ones who have it at their house, I can hang with for a couple hours before I get an assful of them. The ones that bring the bird outdoors and need you to love their bird as well. Don't need that.
Well, there's
person.
A couple of reasons for that, I think, because bird cages by themselves, done well, it kind of you could get in Mexico with the wrought iron, can be these amazing wrought iron castles, and they're art with a macaw inside them. They're gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
The guy with a bird on his shoulder is the guy that's his whole life. I'm that guy. You know me. You've seen me on Santa Monica and Vine. I'm that guy with the bird.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, that's their whole life. That's their whole identity. They're the guy with the bird.
Any. Owner, here's another one of my thing, whether it be a bird or a horse or whatever the animal is. If you feed the animal from your mouth, we can't hang. You know, the person that puts the little sugar cube, they do that thing where it's sort of animal. They're showing off like how much their animal loves them, but it's weird because it's like they're their mom or they're kissing with the bird or whatever.
I don't know, anyway, it refers to the pets as their kids.
Right. Yeah. Or the next and last person I can't hang with. The chick that announces the dog or the cat or the bird or whoever thinks it's a person. Look at him. He thinks he's a person. No, he thinks you're a retard, old lady.
They think they're the boss.
Okay, I'm going to play then still. The one that leaves the pet's name on the answering machine.
Oh.
Danny and Linda and Bobby and Sue and Spot aren't here right now. Sterilize on the houseboat.
That, I agree.
The houseboat is sterilization.
Put the houseboat through the fog.
Through the fog.
Let's get this over with. Yeah, I'll take that even one further. It's slightly more acceptable than the pet, but the newborns. You know what I mean? I have a couple of twins. I don't have on my outgoing message if you want to leave a message for Natalia or Sonny. You know, they're 11 months old.
Yeah.
They're not going to get on that phone machine ever, actually, because by the time they start accepting calls, they'll get their own phone line.
Plus, there'll be just a beeper in their head by that year.
Right. That's right. Their friend will just be thinking about them, and a light will go off on the top of their cranium.
Their eyes will go green.
The eyes will go green, and they'll say, must kill, and they'll start walking toward the front door. I've seen telephone. We'll take a quick break.
I thought I was just making that up. Apparently, I wrote a movie.
No, there was every third movie in the 70s was about the phone call you would get that would say it was now time to kill the president. Yeah, we were very enthralled with that human assassin that didn't know they were an assassin until they were triggered.
So they switched.
It didn't really take off. Turns out just nut jobs or chronic masturbators who try to kill the president.
In a way, kind of turns out true, though.
How?
Think about especially the British ones are the ones that come to mind that blew up the buses in England. They're born and raised in England and were on soccer teams and had buddies and lived there their whole lives, never been to the Middle East. And just somebody said today's the day, 24 years later in their life, and they went, okay.
True.
Just blew up buses.
Charlie Bronson picks up the phone and with one phone call, there goes
and then a little the Mustang tune. Says, if you're reading this, I'm dead. I win. Bye. And then Jan Michael Vincent's career gets all blown to crap in a mock,
someone died last night on The Sopranos.
That's what we need to talk about. Yes.
Are you doing radio again, damn it? Have I told you about to stop that?
Spoiler alert. We're going to talk Sopranos next with Phil Leotardo.
Go in the bathroom and take off your panties.
Frank Vincent next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci.
How is Florida?
Hot and sticky, like my balls.
From HBO's The Sopranos, Frank Vincent is on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, watch The Sopranos. Last night, as I do every Sunday night, last night, particularly good episode.
Yeah.
I'd mentioned maybe 2 weeks ago, not a great episode. And this is against other Soprano episodes, so it's not compared to regular TV. But this last night's episode, first off, seemed like I was a half hour in when I just blinked my eyes. Like it was just upon us. Started off with a shocker. And Frank Vincent all over last night's episode as well. Frank?
Hello, Adam.
Great to speak to you.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Phil Leotardo from The Sopranos. So the good news is, and again, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear about The Sopranos or you TiVo'd it, and actually heard some news about TiVoing and The Sopranos, which is, I did hear some news that the numbers were down this year, but then somebody said it's because most people that watch The Sopranos TiVo The Sopranos, or quite a few people that watch The Sopranos TiVo The Sopranos, and they don't have any way to check the ratings via TiVo, and I must admit, I TiVo it on the East Coast feed, and then I watch it, you know, 2 hours later, and if I was a Nielsen family, I don't know if you'd get credit for that, and I would imagine more people who are sophisticated enough to, A, appreciate The Sopranos, and then in good enough shape financially to have pay-per-view or pay cable stations, probably have TiVos versus folks that watch Hee-Haw NASCAR all day.
And you can also get it on HBO Demand, where it plays, you can play it all week.
Want, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, I know how to do that one.
Well, either way, last night was a great episode. We're down to the last three. My wife, by the way, at the end of each Sopranos episode, they go, three Sopranos left. And she always she turns to me and looks at me with just a look of sort of, she's empty. There's an empty look. And she goes, can you believe there's only three? And I always tell her, yes, because last week when you said, can you believe there's only four episodes? I've done the math. I deducted this last episode.
Well, you know what made it really feel real that it's ending is, and again, spoiler alert, a major character died last night.
Oh yeah,
Chris Moltisanti,
and his all his excuses for doing it.
Yeah,
You know, Tony tried to justify it all. I mean, he justified it in the drug aspect, and you know, he was feeling he didn't like the Cleaver movie. You know, this was sort of like boiling in him. You know, and I guess he had the opportunity to take it, and he took it.
Well, it was very interesting because in movies, there's the you know, in mob movies especially, if somebody's giving you a hard time, you go and have them rubbed out.
Right.
But the idea that he seized upon an opportunity,
yeah.
And it was very interesting because I think there's a lot of people we know who we wouldn't have killed, but if we saw him drowning,
right.
Would we throw him a life preserver?
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Now, and that's really what he did. And it's an interesting kind of in-between that a lot of people have with their spouses.
It was an opportunity.
With their whoever, that if right. they were dying, maybe they just don't do anything about
it. And you knew you could get away with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because he's behind the wheel of the Cadillac. The
now, listen to this. Mm. Now, listen to this. Now, you know, we have to loop all the shows,
right.
and they add some stuff to some episodes. I'm sure we're going to be adding some stuff to the next three episodes. The seatbelt item. Remember the
yeah.
governor of New Jersey?
Yeah.
Right.
That wasn't in the script, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
He said it about three or four times, but he said it off camera once or twice.
Right.
So that means it could have been added.
Right.
Ah.
So, you know what I mean? Now, David has that knack of doing that, and that's what makes it really, really interesting.
Yeah, of tying in current events.
Yeah.
Well, I heard from my wife, who never stops talking about The Sopranos, while we were... my wife has the ability to sort of pick up things and run with them. Like, she explains to me a lot how I've hurt my dog's feelings because I left the house and didn't say goodbye
okay.
to the dog. She treats The Sopranos as if they're actual family right, living right. in New Jersey, and my right. dog as if it's a human being living in my house that
my
I ignored.
Wife did the same thing with the cat.
Right. You didn't say bye to Molly.
Right.
Look at her. She's upset. Molly's sleeping.
Right.
That's what Molly... does. Well, she's depressed, but no. So she was explaining to me yesterday that the reviews are in on the final episode and the critics, I guess the critics have seen it now, right?
I guess. I don't know.
I guess they release it to the critics and they probably have to sign some paperwork that says they won't discuss it. But it is surprising and fitting and shocking and satisfying and all. Now I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah. The last episode is... Well, the last three are killers. I mean, literally.
Well, people are going to start dropping like flies
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And Frank Vincent, who's in the very rarefied air of people, especially folks that weren't friends with Tony Soprano,
right.
who've made it essentially to the end of the race. I mean, if they kill you next episode, you still made it 25 miles of the 26-mile marathon.
Oh, absolutely. We're going 26. Don't worry about it.
Oh!
What's going on with Tony Soprano's son?
Well, you see, now he did a switch-up last night. He joined that crew, and he started doing, like, he wanted to be, like, a tough guy. And
right.
then when they had to beat the black kid up, all his sensitivities came back. Why can't we all get along?
Yeah, he got depressed again.
How unjust that was, what they did to that kid.
I feel yeah. like something bad's going to happen to AJ.
I don't know about that. I think that he's just suffering with he's a mirror of his father. You know, he's
yeah.
suffering all his father's pain, and his father's suffering his own pain, but they're mirroring that, I think.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And it's very, so, and poor Paulie Walnuts, nobody came to the wake.
I know, that was so sad. Although, Juliana Margulies' character showed up.
She showed up.
And is she going to be back?
I don't know. I don't know about that. And I like the girl that Tony met in
yeah.
Vegas. Wow.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, she's hot.
I don't
hot.
Know who she is. She's got a great future, that girl.
Go in the bathroom and take off your panties.
Maybe, you know, I never do say this, but whenever Tony travels and hooks up with one of his lady friends on the road and then
yeah,
comes
yeah.
back home to his family and gives
yeah.
his wife a hug and goes on life as usual, there's always a part of me, I'm always this close to leaning over to my wife and saying, you see, no big deal. No harm, no problem. He still loves his
I
wife, but look at him.
Right.
Absolutely.
He's a family
right.
man. He's a provider.
Right.
That worked
right.
out for me for years, too.
Yeah, like...
I mean, it starts with Roman emperors. As if you ever met a Roman emperor that just didn't have a fleet of women, but
right,
there was
right.
the queen.
Right.
And
right.
it goes to captains of industry with their own right. jets, and there's like woman in a town. It means nothing
yes,
to the
Frank
mother
Vincent,
of your children.
You wrote The Guy's Guide Being a Man's Man. A man's man doesn't do this, right?
No. A man's man doesn't do
this. Oh, you're full of crap, Vincent.
You have to admit.
You mean a man's man as in a man who has like a man in every town.
Boy, oh boy. Just all you got to handle is guilt. That's all you have to
yeah.
handle.
Yeah. If you're completely and I feel that I'm coming to terms with this. But if you are completely incapable of remorse of any kind, you can have a really lovely life.
Oh, yeah. You can have fun.
I do really, like, my wife gives Tony Soprano a pass. He gets to kill somebody, then hump a concubine, then go home and yell at his wife. And my wife's like, he's under a lot of pressure. I'm like, well, but there is a part of me that's dying to go, okay.
See?
Look.
I've been taking a poll lately. A lot of women I've been talking to that say to me, I love Phil. I say to them, why do you love Phil? Phil is powerful, and that's what makes him sexy. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I don't think of him as sexy, but women do.
Women love power, and also women understand that when a guy is in a position of power, there's certain things he must do that sometimes mean having an affair outside of the marriage, or it means having an enemy put down, and they'll give him a pass.
Right, because of it.
It is interesting, and in power, ultimately, and I've said this to, we're going to go in on our next book, A Man's Guide to Being a, guy's. The point is women don't like, I mean, they like guys with money, that's great, but they like the power part. You know, we always say, oh, they like the CEOs and the heads of state and the movers and the shakers and all that because of the money. Oh, no, the money's just a byproduct.
Right.
They love it when a guy shows up at work, sits in a corner office, and has 300 people under him and tells them what to do.
Yep.
Confidence.
Right. If that same guy made a school teacher salary, there would still be as many people attracted to that guy.
Exactly right.
That's what politicians do.
Yep.
Politicians make about as much money as guys who manage restaurants, except for they tell whole cities and whole states what to do, and women are constantly attracted to those guys.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. You know, by the way, incidentally, when we did Kimmel, second highest rated show of his career.
Wow.
Kimmel's, really?
When I was on with Eva Longoria.
Oh, really?
Last week we were on,
Yeah, I saw that was on Friday. Was it Friday of last?
Yeah, Friday,
Frank,
yeah.
How did you like Eva Longoria?
Well, you know, I didn't get to see her then. I met her at the SAG Awards, but she's a sweetheart.
She is, and would be a nice little Vegas concubine.
Oh, you know, yeah.
She made me red hot to a girl one day.
She'd be a Philadelphia concubine anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. I also, whenever, maybe I pick The Sopranos apart too much, but I'm always like, and I shouldn't talk out loud in front of my wife, but I was like, wow, this chick's hot. She's got no boyfriend. What's she doing over there?
Yeah.
Jeez, I could hang with that.
Stripping her way through college?
Yeah. Yeah, now what, the hot stripper chick that Tony hooked up with last night, she's from the L Word, or so I hear from
wife.
That's what I hear. She's the hot chick from
L Word. Seeing her on the show before, though. Do you?
No, you mean when Tony was talking about hanging out with Chris back in the day?
Yeah,
I don't remember her being there, but that's the beauty of The Sopranos.
Right.
Life goes on the nights they're not on. Well, Frank,
yes,
now we've learned that you're going to make it all the way to the end.
Well, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Look, what the hell? What are you going to do? Get fired?
I can't get fired.
I just interpreted he'll be in the last episode, but he won't live.
That's
what I got.
Now you went too far.
Well, Frank, you're a good actor, but not that good. I think Teresa's right.
Okay, we'll see.
But again, look, what are they going to do? Fire you from a show you've already done?
They can't. It's done.
Unless you use my Ted McGinley idea.
See, I've had a theory all along, and don't want to blow it. But I've hinted at it. Do you really want me to tell you what I think?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's over.
Mm.
I think Tony's gone.
We'll see. We will all see what's going to happen.
I think there is a show very similar to The Sopranos with a very similar crew starring people you have come to know and love.
Called The Leotardos.
And families, very possibly, families have to reunite, break up, split up. Captains have to become loyal to new teams.
Wow.
And that's what I see. I don't see The Sopranos going away except for the title.
Well, maybe.
That's my opinion. I never said that, but I thought that's the first time I talked to you, I thought that.
Go pitch it.
They made you too much of a big deal. I see you running this game.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Oh, boy.
Hey, maybe Tony Jr. is starting to get groomed for a spinoff series. Because he is starting to become very integral in the part of the storyline.
Exactly.
Well, Frank Vincent, we will be watching every Sunday The Sopranos, and we're going to go online. We're going to go to frankvincent.com, pick up the guy's guide to being a man's man, and everything else. Frank Vincent.
It's a pleasure to be on your show. I do a couple of shows on Mondays, and it's a I look forward to doing the Adam Carolla show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, it's a pleasure having you.
Say hi to Opie and Anthony.
See you next week.
That's it, Frank. Frank Vincent, everybody.
Good guy.
Very cool. Good guy. And very cool to talk to him about The Sopranos just hours after it airs every Sunday. And it sounds like, and again, it's weird when the guy you're talking to gets snuffed out 9 episodes ago and you have to keep speculating about a show that he's not involved in anymore. It's nice that we happen to pick a pony that's going the distance. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, Teresa?
Yes.
What's in the news, baby doll?
Well, the most popular first names of 2006 have been released. Some very interesting additions and subtractions. Also, Bobby Brown gets aggressive and homophobic. I have a recording of that. And big news for Sheryl Crow.
Black guy homophobic?
Shocking. Man.
I hate gay people.
Hard away.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be back with the news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Deaf Frat Guy. Today's topic, the DJ.
Be sure to acknowledge the hard work being done by the strip club DJ. Give him a high five. And if you feel the need, buy him a drink. Those guys are hilarious.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Deaf Frat Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
There was a time not too long ago when I thought that it's the highest mountain a man can climb in terms of performing. I would have signed 1,000 contracts that would have made me a strip club DJ for the rest of my entire life at a certain point when I was swinging a hammer. Hey, buddy, it's me. I got to pinch myself. I'm here. What happened? Looks like I put on 80 pounds and grew a weird beard so it didn't look like I had a triple chin. Man, you don't do the booger shirt. Oh, yeah, you do. And your hair, it's in a ponytail. But you got a Jufro. What? Weightlifting pants. Flip-flops. Sweat a hoodie with the sleeves cut off? What? Where are you getting this? You rocking a tattoo? It's barbed wire around your fat upper arm. What's this booger sugar? I got to pinch myself. Hey, everyone, tip me. Who wants to send me over? Zima. So I have to take care of business, even when my fantasy
is
get Jade over to stage 4. All right. T.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Every year, the Social Security Administration releases a list of the most popular baby names, and now they've released that list for 2006. Not surprisingly, a very tough year for the name Katrina.
Dropped down to
382nd place. But here's something interesting. In Louisiana and Mississippi, the two states that were most ravaged by Hurricane Katrina, the name actually got slightly more popular.
Sure.
Apparently,
just makes sense.
Publicity around a name, positive
or
negative.
Those are pragmatic people down that part of the country.
Yeah, let's live underwater level.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move down to under the sea level. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some experts say that any publicity can help a name to spike. Now they say there's there's only one name that was really permanently exterminated, and that's an unfortunate verb. The name that really went away when somebody famous had it. Not here in America, but probably all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Adolf.
Adolf, gone?
Pretty much gone. You don't really meet any Adolfs, and not very many babies are named Adolf.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But Katrina survived. It dropped everywhere in the country except Mississippi and Louisiana. Now, as far as the most popular names...
Is that all... All the evidence we need not to rebuild. You people that were decimated by something called Katrina decided to name your newborns Katrina a year later.
Talk about when the water breaks.
Yes,
it's very please. Odd. Very odd. Now, for the 10th straight year in a row, the most popular girl's name is Emily. And for the 7th straight year, Jacob is the most popular name for boys. The other girls' names, if you hear anything familiar, Adam. Emma, Madison, Isabella, Ava, Abigail. Olivia, Hannah, Sophia, Samantha.
Ava?
Yes. your daughter's middle name.
I still think it's Eva. I got to check into that.
Could you check into that? And then for guys, Michael, Joshua, Ethan, Matthew, Daniel, Christopher, Andrew, Anthony, and William.
Mike and Chris and Bill or William. I mean, it sounds like the same old, same
very
old,
typical,
right?
Names. Yeah, except mm-hmm. Jacob is a little, you know, well, it's biblical, but it's very popular.
Yeah, I know. It used to be, you know, when you did a sitcom from the 70s, they'd have the hoodlum who was dating your daughter. He didn't want to date the hoodlum, and his name would be Jake.
Right.
Now Jake, not a tough guy, puss name now. It's turned to a wuss name.
It's true.
Jake used to be the biker guy.
It's
the
true.
Troublemaker.
I also read, you know, the book Freakonomics.
Jake is also the guy that gets his testicle shot off in The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good
and
times.
In the book Freakonomics, there's a whole chapter on names and statistics and what names mean. And they tried to determine what is the most white name, meaning the most white babies are named this and the fewest black children are named this. And that name is Jake.
No, I'm going to go with Honky Klansman.
No, yeah, that was second place. Jake, number one, whitest name.
Jake is a white name, yeah.
There are very few black kids.
No brothers named
and
Jake.
Yeah, right. And in relation, lots of white kids named Jake.
You want to know a very sad truth, and I hate to admit I'm guilty of it. Whenever I try to do that, you never hear about a black guy named Jake. All I have for black guy name references is the NFL and the NBA.
Right.
So it's like I go, let's see, Jake Scott, he played DB for the Dolphins. Oh, no, he was a white guy. Jake. Oh, I think there's a guy in Kansas City. There was a wideout named Jake. Like the saddest, most telling. That's a very bad sign for this country, which is if you ever bring up a black guy's name and you think there's no black guy named Jake or named Kevin or named, oh, yeah, Kevin Garnett plays for the, you just go right to the NBA. And that's how you settle
it. Yes, well, everyone always enjoys this. My black stepfather, Ron, and my Jewish dad, Nelson.
Yeah. And the one's been to prison, and it was the Jewish one.
Yep. Now, I thought this was interesting. The 43rd most popular girl's name is, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, it's Nevae, which is heaven backwards. Now, ranking at number 996 is a similar version, Neviah, which is a misspelling of heaven backwards. Both made the top 1,000.
You know, I don't like either of them, but I like the fact that a misspelled hippie name made the list.
Hippie, possibly.
Heaven backwards.
Let's go back to the NBA.
Yeah.
For that answer.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yes. Now,
all right.
Bobby Brown. I think they named their kid Bobby Christina, Bobby and Whitney. if I'm not mistaken.
Look, I would have loved to name my kid after me, but I didn't really want the stink eye from the folks that said, really, Adam, that's all you could come up with is you. And by the way, he's not you. You understand? He is an individual.
Right.
That would have been the son naming the girl after me. Like, it's little Adam Mina.
That's what I was thinking. Like, how you even do this?
How you look people in the eye with a straight face and go, it's one thing when you name your son Bobby and your name Bobby. When then you name your daughter Bobby and you name everyone male or female in your family after you,
then you're George Foreman.
Well, it was adorable when George Foreman did it, but somehow when Bobby Brown did it, didn't seem as cute.
Almost nothing that guy does is adorable.
Wait till you hear this. Now, perhaps his income options are thinning. He decided to take part in a British interview show called 24 Hours With. What happens is a celebrity spends 24 straight hours locked in a room with a host named Jamie Campbell. The conversation goes where it goes. They take the 24 hours, they edit it down to 24 minutes. It's an interesting idea for a show.
It's a good idea, except for one of the people in the room needs to do drugs every 20 minutes.
Right.
So how's that going
to
work?
Well, let's take a listen to Bobby Brown on 24 Hours With.
They told me it was going to be like a prison.
How do I measure up to your cellmates?
You're dangerous.
I haven't tried any sex moves yet.
What the f*** do you mean, sex moves? Do I look like... Brother, you're saying you haven't even tried any sex moves yet. Are you...
Am I gay?
Yeah.
Would it make a difference?
Are you?
Why would it make a difference?
You said to me, I haven't even tried any sex moves on you yet. Yet? What the f*** you mean yet? I'm a grown-ass man. Yet? On live TV, I will f*** you up. Trust me.
I only meant it as a joke.
Okay, well, you should have laughed afterwards.
Yeah, you gotta let him... Well, look, you can't joke with people who aren't paying attention or high as kites.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The thing is that... nobody knew. I mean, the reporter was doing a good job. How far can I take him down this road?
Right.
Bobby, at any point, goes, I'm sorry, man. It's a touchy subject. I didn't mean to be all over the top of that. How stupid is that man?
Well, how much time do we have?
I apologize.
Number one. Number two, don't argue with a Brit, because even if they're not right, they sound like they're right. Would it make a difference? It's like, huh? Yeah, don't argue with British people. It's not that they're smarter than we are. It's that they sound so much smarter, thus they'll win the argument.
They really do. We were just talking about babies. Sheryl Crow has some baby news. Mm. She announced on Friday that she adopted a two-week-old baby boy. And how original is this? She got her kid from somewhere here in these United States.
Nice.
She named him Wyatt after her father.
Wyatt.
Wyatt.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant W-H-I-T.
You know, the cowboy name.
Wyatt.
Like Wyatt Earp.
Oh, okay.
She's 45 and single.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe she heard the clock ticking. No.
She, I've been on a nice architectural tour of her home, by the way, which is out here in SoCal. Owns many acres right in the middle of the city.
Is it nice?
Quite surprising.
Wow.
Yeah, great place if you're into architecture. It was very cool. Walked her grounds, and a couple of years back, and gave me a nice like 2-hour tour of a beautiful turn of the century place.
She seems like a nice woman.
She's very nice, but there's something missing. I'm not sure what it is. T, take this in the spirit in which it's intended, but when you have a very attractive, very successful, very talented, very rich, beautiful 45-year-old single woman, there's something going on.
All I heard was beautiful. That's all I heard.
I'm just saying, you
know. And I'm 29.
Yeah, yeah.
For the record.
Right. Of course. I mean, move on. The point is she's, I don't know, like the whole Lance Armstrong thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The guy spends 13 hours a day on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Now he looks good in his shorts and he's won the Tour de France and all that good stuff. But how much would you have to talk about with Lance Armstrong other than the topic of cancer and cycling?
Well, there's the relative merits of various energy drinks.
That's true. And then there's the banned substances discussion, and then there's the French countryside.
That's it.
I would say that if she, and I'll put this out to all women, to you listening.
Yeah.
If you want to be with someone, you can be with someone. Sheryl Crow seems like the type that needs to be with someone that we want to be with or know of or have heard of as well. The cool guys.
Yeah, don't date a regular guy.
Just find a regular guy and settle in. He'll be a good husband. He'll be a good father.
And maybe the baby will be a good influence on her taking care of little Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. White?
Wyatt.
Okay, it just sounds like you're saying white, but you're from the South.
Wyatt. This weekend at
Yes. Are you telling me to shut up?
No.
Quiet?
You said quiet or white?
I said Wyatt. Like Wyatt Earp.
She said white guy be quiet.
That's what I heard. Wyatt means Whitey, shut up.
It does. I heard it.
This weekend at the box office, Superman 3, still number one, making $60 million. Spider-Man 3, thank you, making $60 million.
I heard that movie sucks ass from everyone who saw it.
Yeah.
It still made $60
million. Still made $60 million. To put it in perspective, the number two film only made $10 million. That was 28 weeks later.
That's almost half as much. Listen, everybody. When a movie sucks, don't go see it to substantiate your friend. You know, there's nothing. Look, you want to know the definition of being retarded, which is five people tell you the movie blows ass, so you go out and investigate for yourself, and 14 bucks later, you now concur with the five people that told you it sucked ass on Thursday. Don't see it.
Yeah, it's, I would do.
Everyone, look. I have an impulse to go in with the hype and to buy into it and to see it. And everyone's talking about it. And I want to see it. Everyone who's seen it says it's a half hour too long and it sucks. Everybody. People on different radio stations say it sucks. People on our station say it sucks. Friends say it sucks. Angie, alcoholics say it sucks. The point is, everyone says the movie sucks. So don't see it. It sucks.
Yeah. Take a little faith in your friends.
There you go. That's right.
A lot of people are also saying Georgia Rule sucks, but it came in at number three with $5.9 million. I believe we'll have a review of that later from Ozzie and Ray.
Yep.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show, a dear, dear friend. Well, you know him from the Naked Trucker and T-Bone Show. You also know him from, let's see, Thank You for Smoking and as Anchorman. Azil, Snakes on a Plane? I didn't even know he was in that. Didn't see a 40-year-old virgin. I mean, this guy's been in every... Well, it's been an ever real funny comedy in like the last 8 years. David Koechner in studio next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I like the way you're put together. What do you say we go out on a date? Have some chicken, maybe some sex. You know, see what happens.
Now David Koechner is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Anchorman? Was that from Anchorman?
It was.
Yes, David Koechner from Anchorman. Thank you for Smoking, Snakes on a Plane, 40-Year-Old Virgin, all the good and popular movies of the last, say, about 4 years.
Let's say it. You did.
I did say it.
It's a declarative statement, folks.
David Koechner's here. He has brought along his pal, EJ, and they're here for a worthy cause. Tell us about that cause, David.
Well, we're getting the word out. My friend EJ Scott here has degenerative eye disease. And Scott, say the name of the...
Choroideremia.
Choroideremia. And EJ's got the prognosis is... It's tragic. You've asked me several times to do the benefit show, and I've always been busy. And said, what could I thought to myself, what could I do for you to get the word out? And I said, I got a guy who owes me a favor, AC, Adam Carolla. I said, let's get over to the Carolla and the Dooch, and let's talk about this thing.
Right. And DK called me, and he said, AC, I need a favor. And I said, BFD.
Now, why does AC owe you a favor?
I'm kidding.
Because he's my only celebrity who's been to my house.
True. And we also have twins. And, you know, here's the weird thing. This morning you said your mother was traveling in Europe, and so is mine.
Oh, really?
I don't know what it is. Maybe we're...
There's a kismet going on here.
There is.
Yes, the Koechners had twins, I believe, about the same time had twins. I mean, if it was a week or two apart. It's weird when everything's relative, when you go like, oh, your twins are 7 months old, mine are 10 and a half, so they're worlds apart. Later on, when you're in your 40s, you don't go, when were you born? You're 41, me too. Oh, March? Oh, we can't talk. But for some reason, 4 months seems like, oh, our kids won't be able to date then because they're 9 weeks apart.
Right.
Well, how are the babies and how is Mother's Day?
Awesome. Both things awesome. But they're, I think, days apart. Ours are June 2nd.
Ah.
Ours are somewhere in there. Let's see. June 2nd? Ours are June 7th.
Yeah, so there you go. And I also have a boy and a girl, and so do you.
Right.
So you have
my
Sonny,
kids have names.
Sonny and
Natalia.
What are yours
names? And I have Sergeant and Audrey.
Sergeant is the best.
Come on. Sergeant
adorable.
Koechner?
Get on your knees, scumbag.
Love the name Audrey.
Sergeant Koechner.
How quick.
Brian the sound guy.
How about that?
And he's on cloud nine, not
There's
only.
Because no
he worships
right
you.
Yeah, not only were you an anchorman, but you're bald and you're part of an elite fraternity as far as... Let's not forget about the worthy cause.
Right. Yes. That's the reason we're here. But I will say this. Our children could marry each other.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Son on son, daughter on daughter. I'm progressive.
I'm thinking.
Los Angeles. Why not?
It's all love. All love.
Audrey and
Sonny. What do you do with this? I mean, not what is the bad thing that happens. It's pretty self-describing. But
the douche is on
what
point.
Do you do
I love
to
it.
Yes. Help out?
Yes.
Well, it's just that I have a degenerate penis. And I'm trying to get it back in line.
No, degenerative.
He said
different.
Degenerate. And
he does have that.
Not degenerative.
It's caused me nothing but grief my whole life. I mean, your eyes punched out going, what, 2-3 years ago? My wiener went bad when I was 11. Okay, so just get in line.
Here's the thing, EJ. He found out about this 4 years ago. That's the hardest part. He just found out. There's not a lot of treatment. Now, you're thinking, they're telling you it's 1 in 500,000.
I think I heard a statistic. I might have a zero wrong, but I think it was like 1 in 500,000. But that's, I think that's a far inaccurate statistic.
Maybe it's 1 in 5,000.
Yeah.
Or 50,000.
Because it plagues families. Like, my entire family is plagued by this.
Well, so...
You don't look plagued.
Here's...
You don't look plagued.
How is your vision now?
I'm down to about 25% centrally, and then peripherally, it's not.
So T's looking pretty hot about now.
Yes, she is.
I was thinking that. You could be the perfect man for me.
Sure.
Are you single, EJ?
I am.
You are.
Hi.
Well, he's easy on the eyes. What else do you do besides raise money for syndromes?
Well, I do improv at Improv Olympic. I'm unemployed as well as single.
Well, you'd be a lot like most of my boyfriends. Unemployed comedian, right up my alley.
Does the eye thing catch make you cry?
Sometimes, if I think about it too much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when you're making love to our little Teresa, when she comes over to your side of the table, I cry immediately afterwards. She loves that.
DJ,
okay,
one time a guy cried after sex with me, and these guys won't let it go. One time, he was happy.
You know, that's the power of it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Have you ever cried after sex?
You must have been really good.
Or really bad.
Yeah, or really expensive.
Well, EJ... No? Your Teresa's, even to someone who has less than 20/20 vision, she's looking pretty good from where you're sitting, right?
Sure.
Now, EJ, does this go into total blindness?
Yes.
Is that how it progresses?
Yes. My grandfather was totally blind, but we never talked about blindness in my family ever. Mm-hmm. And he died like 15 years ago. But, so I've had it my whole life, so has my brother, but we only found out 4 years ago. And my baby nephew has it, too.
And your brother-in-law... is biking across the country
from San Francisco to Long Island
to raise money or awareness for this,
both,
and to get away from his wife.
Maybe.
Because listen, let's face it, when you make the proclamation I'm riding a bicycle, if you're going across country in anything that has less than four wheels or doesn't have wings on it, you're saying, I need a little breathing space from the old lady for about 6 months.
I want to do kayak for a cure.
I'm going to kayak to Nevada.
It's a real thing. I was going to kayak for a cure from here to Catalina.
Really?
A few years ago. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't find a disease I cared that much about because it seemed really hard after I tried it.
I did the luge for lupus run. Oh. I don't know if you...
Well, let me say this. I don't want to poke any holes on this, but I got a buddy who does that AIDS bike ride. I have a few buddies who do the AIDS bike ride, which is every year they take 3 weeks off work, they get on a bike, they get a bunch of buddies, and they essentially have a rolling caravan slash party. There's people massaging them, they camp out, they do this, they leave from town. But except for I pay for it because I work during the 3 weeks while they're taking the bike ride to San Francisco. So you sponsor them.
Right.
Now, the real sacrifice, which is you sponsor yourself. Instead of me taking 2 weeks off work and walking to Bakersfield and you all paying for me, you stay at work, I'll stay at work, and I'll pay.
There you go.
How about that?
There's nothing gets spent.
Help EJ raise some money for this good cause. Now, can people log onto a website and learn more?
Absolutely. If you go to ifund.org, E-Y-E-F-U-N-D.org, there's a PayPal account there. You can donate and read more about the disease, and there are other links there.
Can you?
Can I what?
Read more about that stuff, or have you reached the point where you can't read like from a computer screen?
I can still read from a computer screen and stuff like that. I am light sensitive, and I have trouble seeing in dimly lit places, so I stay.
So it can be too bright or too dark.
Right.
And which makes chicks almost perfect for you, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little light. I can't see that you're hideous. It's a little dark. I can't see that you're heinous. That's kind of cool. But aside from that, this has got to be a drag for you.
So I can let myself go in a couple years, and you wouldn't.
I can still feel.
Oh, good point.
I got a sprout a little fist on the top of her head.
Well, let's get philosophical for a second here. Now, we should solve this problem that plagues humanity, but I ultimately think blind people are probably happier. I really do. Was your grandfather miserable about his blindness?
No, he was a pretty happy guy. On the flip side, I actually saw a Dr. Phil show recently where this woman went blind at 15. She had, like, retinal detachment or something. She was like, blindness is my friend. She said that on the show, blindness is my friend. I will probably never say that.
You don't think you're going to embrace it like everybody who says...
No, I'm going to go down fighting.
You're not. And as far as you go, what are the chances, the opportunities? I mean, let's just say everyone... went to the website ifund.org and you raised $1 billion. What could they do for you?
Well, they can give that money to doctors. And the doctors right now, the Choroideremia Research Foundation right now makes about $65,000 a year on average in donations.
Right.
Not a lot of money, but they make every penny count. It's also not for profit, so it's all a write-off and everything. But so we just need more money to get more doctors involved and to do more experiments and stuff like that. It all takes so much time and so slow that we just need to get more money and more awareness out there. Because when I was told I had it, I'd never heard of it.
Right.
And that was only 4 years ago.
Right, and your grandfather had it.
And my grandfather had it, but never talked about it.
But he didn't actually know that's what it was.
He did. My grandfather was kind of misdiagnosed, but they also, I think they knew that they could potentially pass it along.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about going blind later on in life, I have sort of a split decision on it. On one hand, it's good because you got stuff stored away. It's good for the spank bank, as we like to say. Right. I mean, you got.
I was thinking, you know what colors are.
Oh, yeah. So you know to avoid certain groups. Good point. I think I can do that with my nose, though, T, but I'm glad you're staying on topic.
That's wit.
But I first thing I would do is I would treat my head like some sort of horn of plenty that I had to fill with porn before the lights went out.
You know what
I
mean?
I would download every piece of printed pornography ever on this planet before the lights went out.
You're the ghost of porno present.
Right.
The porno plenty.
Right, the porno plenty. Smart, A, number one. But then if you're blind from the word go, you'd learn Braille.
Right.
You would probably, like, I don't know how
learn
you...
piano.
How you, you
yeah.
piano. I don't know how you learn Braille at 40 years of age or 35 years of age.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't either.
Your language skills
yet.
Aren't as good at that age as they are when you were a kid, so it'll be harder.
It would be harder to learn. Yeah, I think so, too. But there are places that if I'm legally blind or blind, they'll help me for free.
Mm-hmm. And you can get that. The books on cassette and all that.
My grandfather was big on that.
David Koechner, by the way, in studio, EJ, his buddy in here for a very worthy cause, which I'm going to try to... First off, you got to do something. Call it CR, something. You got to come up with something you can pronounce.
CHM.
CHM?
CHM.
All right.
CHM, a degenerative eye disease.
Hereditary.
And tonight, is there a benefit for this?
Yeah. Actually, at Improv Olympic West in Hollywood, there's an 8 o'clock show called Shooting the S Word. I can't say that, I'm sure. With me, Craig Kakowski, and Shelley Berman.
Legend of comedy, Shelley Berman.
Wow.
It's an improv show, it'll be a lot of fun. And half the ticket prices will go to the bike trip, and any additional donations will also go to the bike trip.
So you go to IO West? No, what?
No, IO West. Yeah.
IO West is where you go to get the tickets. David, what's coming up for you? What movies you got coming out?
The next one I have coming out is October 25th. It's a picture called The Comebacks. And myself, we have parallel tracks other than that I don't have a daily radio show.
Mm-hmm. I thought you meant you and I were going to say, I don't have tracks anymore.
Exactly. Well, the booting up days are over. We had twins now, Dave.
Right, that's right.
My first feature starring role comes out October, and I know The Hammer, your first starring role
which is getting killer reviews, by the way.
As it should be.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see it. I had my friends that are trying to help me with this fight I have coming up watch Rocky because it's the ultimate boxing move for me, and I fell asleep because I've seen it so many times.
Right.
I need an advanced copy of The Hammer, man.
Well, we're going to do
a guy that shouldn't be doing it, doing it.
We will do a big old screening out here in Los Angeles in about 3 weeks, so we'll keep you kids posted. But, David, you were saying?
October 25th, The Comebacks. It's a sports comedy. Good Lord, ooh, same deal. Sports comedy.
What sport?
Football.
Football.
So football, sports comedy.
And, again, with the twins, the boy and the girl, and they're the same age, really, there's a kismet here. And we're having a little birthday party. I will invite you and the twins.
As we are, too.
Too, as well. All right.
We always have a beer blowout for our first, because I have two older ones, so...
Let me tell you something. Here's how you know you officially have no more proms, honey, if you're listening. My wife came home concerned from the Mother and Me class that she was hanging out at last Tuesday at noon, saying to me, by the way, you have to go to these Mother and Me classes. And I'm like, Papa... And he, which is a me and my testicles, have to go to work so that we can fund your mother and me. You understand how mother and me works? They don't pay me to come down there. I have to go to a place called work, which resides in the real world. You go to a place that's covered with foam padding and watch puppet shows for 6 hours a week. I got to go here so you can go to mother and me. So I'm not going to mother and me, by the way. And secondly, she was very concerned. She said, look, we have the kids' party coming up. I said, that's right. We have to start singing happy birthday to them right now. I said, why? 6 weeks before the birthday. So otherwise, they'll go into shock when a large group of people start singing happy birthday to them. I said, so be it. I said, oh, no. Join with me now. I said, all right. See, I said no. Well, here's how it went. It was like this. I will not do this. I will not do this. She started, though. Happy birthday. No, I will. Okay, happy birthday. I jumped in. Happy birthday. So then we got to the point where it's, happy birthday, dear Sonny and Natalia. Oh, no, no, no.
Oh,
you
no.
don't combine.
Oh, they each you get don't. Their own.
Now,
oh,
here's what the God. Mommy and me teacher said. We have to sing happy birthday to each child individually. Do not, do oh, never combine. Lord. I said, are you high, Missy? My birthday was in, my sister's birthday is May 9th. Mine's May 27th. We would do a combined birthday in July. Are you high?
Wow.
Are you kidding? Much less sing the thing in the same. I said, no, no, you break it up. It's Natalia's. That's it. Then we do a separate round for Sonny, and we get them indoctrinated into the sound so they don't go into shock when everyone starts singing.
Or because they will never, ever remember it, you don't have to sing it at all.
I know.
You know what's really cool, though, now?
I know.
With Photoshop? I can put my children's faces in all sorts of events they did not attend.
Smart.
I used to do that to my dad when he was after his stroke.
Right.
Yeah. My sister would just say, he'd say, and the guy never liked me, so it's not like I felt bad about this.
The guy, your dad.
Yeah, the dead guy. He would, he'd say, how come Danny never comes to see me anymore? And my sister would say, he was just here. He brought you a TV. And he'd say, that's my boy.
Well, where do you stand on
it? I feel like you could go too far, though. First, it's photoshopping at Disneyland. But the next thing, you know, you're Knott's Berry Farm. The next thing, I was at the sinking of the Lusitania. That's right, son.
We were both there. Did that porno
we're on a cruise to Europe.
Where do you stand on dressing the twins the same way?
Oh, well, I have a boy and a girl, so it doesn't matter.
Well, so does... So you can wear similar outfits.
We dress them like little ketchup and mustard. So they know they're different.
Oh, my God. Ketchup, we dress them with salt and pepper. I can't believe it.
Oh, we got to get them together.
It just keeps going.
For Halloween?
My wife has bought several matching pairs of pants that my son... Sergeant has and I do, like some plaid shorts, but we have yet to wear them on the same day. They have a couple of similar outfits, but my wife doesn't go crazy.
Right.
But, you know, Lynette and Lee were in the same twins class for a while.
Mommy, me, twins.
Right.
Oh, my
but
God.
My
same class cost twice as much. Yeah, that's where the twins part comes in.
Although she got a lot of great information from it.
I know.
So it was really,
really?
Good.
Really? But I didn't get crap.
Don't,
although the second birthday,
you go, or were you?
Yeah, no, I went.
You went.
I did the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a couple, once in a while, you get a, I don't know what the tidbit is.
Yeah. And you're like, it makes sense.
Yeah, you go like, I don't know, feed them or at this time or do that at that time or whatever it is.
Keep them on the same schedule. Feed them the same thing. Here's another one. One was, don't try and use two spoons when you're feeding both of them the same oatmeal. Just use the same spoon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know if my wife got that one.
Well, maybe they lied to me and they said, oh, no, it's fine.
Yeah, the twins, my wife sees David's wife over at the twins, Mommy and Me, and then describes what went on at the Mommy and Me Cup. Listen, I'm sorry, but when you're teaching Mommy and Me, you've officially asked life to stop and you've gotten off now. Anytime you're working with people that can't understand you and have no memory of what went on, that's if you're working with old people with dementia or young people that have no brain yet, you've officially gotten off of life. You said, I'm done being judged by adults. I like to be judged by toddlers now who don't judge.
Judged by toddlers, and to them, you're a guru.
Yeah.
And you're the biggest celeb in that room. When that puppet comes out, all eyes are on you. And then they do the big parachute thing.
Yeah.
And my wife then gives me the breakdown of what went on in the parachute thing. Natalia loved it. Sonny, not a big... Who cares?
Did you go to the Mommy and Me classes?
I've been invited several times.
You didn't
make it.
What, my schedule?
Very busy.
Sure.
Very busy.
Yeah, always.
I wish you weren't a liar.
You got to tap that pony keg. You can't. You can't be two places at once. All right, David Koechner, we'll be. When the new movie comes out, you come in.
We'll get back together.
We'll see you at the. You're invited to the twins' birthday.
All right.
And now we have to be invited to yours as well.
Absolutely.
EJ, good luck. I pray that they find a cure for this scourge known as blah, 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 blah. CHM is what we'll call it. Listen, everybody, go to ifund.org. Put a little money into a very worthy cause. It is all tax deductible and help EJ's brother-in-law get away from his sister for just another few months.
Thank you so much.
We're sad, man.
Thank you. We are going to take a break. When we come back, a big announcement.
Really?
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
He's doing mornings with the Ace Man. Been arrested many times and paid a lot of fines. How long till he makes Teresa cry or Danny? He beat up Greg Brady and a tranny. And he's done lots of drugs, oh Danny. He's doing steroids and karate. We should all be afraid, oh Danny.
Well, that's part of the clue for the big announcement. The big announcement is... Thank you. Thursday. Thursday, May 31st. At the Key Club from 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., we are throwing Danny Bonaducci a bachelor party. Now, we were going to throw him a funeral, and then he went ahead and got divorced, and now a bachelor party. Now, you got married 17 years ago, and you got married the day of or the day after.
Day of, 7 hours after.
Your first date. So I imagine you didn't have a bachelor party.
No. And the reason I had to marry her on the first date is if I wanted to have sex with her. She was a Christian.
This will be the bachelor party you never had.
I ended up going to Hooters with my friend Dave, and I came home. I mean, just for lunch. It just happened to be next door to where we lived. I didn't even think of it. And I came home, and I said, she goes, where'd you guys go? And I said, Hooters. And she said, for a bachelor party? And, like, flipped out.
Yeah, but here's the thing about bachelor parties. As far as I can tell, there are not many fives and sixes. There's nines and twos.
Right.
There's the one where you went to Mexico and you got nutty and everyone almost died, but we're back in one piece. And beside a little crab comb, everyone's just fine. What a party. And then there's the one that Kimmel had when he got married, which is a 12-pack of warm strohs sitting in a buddy's garage.
Right.
And doing nothing. I've been to some pathetic bachelor parties, and I've been to some great ones. This is going to be a good one. The reality of bachelor parties is they should be thrown by guys who've been married for 20 years, who have a few dollars in their wallet and a gold shoe.
You can't?
It's
bodily fluid.
We keep getting... Okay, well...
It's not a word. Just say pee.
No one has a pot to pee in.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, there we go.
Yes.
And
by the way,
just believe Brian.
As an atheist in this world, I feel like some sort of person from a different planet, and everyone's trying to get me to kill myself. The idea that we can say the word P,
yeah, not
but P-I with the S's following it is off limits as far as
don't
the FCC
let it
goes.
Don't on your joy about Danny Bonaducci's bachelor party.
Point is, here's the thing on this, because I expect this to be a 10, and the reason I do is because, as you know, I still have these incredible feelings for my wife. I wish this wasn't happening, all that crap. But it's happening, and that's that. And we've been super cool about the money, and everything's, like, fine, and we couldn't be better friends. I still live in the house. But she is actively trying to marry me off. She's actively telling me who to sleep with. She's actively telling me to, like, I have a friend that's just a friend, and she said to this girl, I want you to know, I've got your back. Because the girl's a school teacher and doesn't do any drugs. Gretchen thinks much like I think CBS thought at first until they got to know me. Luckily, Adam went to bat for me even before he knew me. Said, you don't do morning radio and not show up for 16 years and be crazy. The guy's fine. He does his act.
Right.
But Gretchen really thinks that I might just spiral out of control immediately. And being and I don't mean this in a mean way, it's just the facts. I am her bread and butter. Alimony and child support will be the rest of her life. Unless she goes and gets a job or, I hate to say this to myself, like a fool, marry somebody and gets me off the hook. She does not want me to be single and roaming the streets of Hollywood again. So she, like, if she wouldn't be too uncomfortable, she'd come to the bachelor party and say, pick that one. Let me go scout that girl, see what she does for a living.
Yeah, Noelle, no wet blankets.
No, she will not be attending the bachelor
party.
And
by the way, let me just toss this in as a little bachelor party etiquette overall. This is not going to jeopardize our bachelor party May 31st over at the Key Club. You're all invited, of course.
You're all invited.
Once in a while, folks, I went to a bachelor party, I think it was in Mexico, and the guy brought his, like, brother-in-law or the dad. Once in a while, the dad of the wife will come. or the guy's dad or the brother-in-law, you know, the chick's brother comes along, they always feel like they have to invite these guys because they're about the same age and they've hung out, they've got to know them over the years. Do not invite this guy.
No.
There will be 35 opportunities over the course of a long weekend that you're going to want to do something that you don't want to set a family member eyes on, because ultimately they may be drunk and be your buddy for the weekend, but ultimately they share blood with this other person. And if push comes to shove or gets down to it, they will rat your ass out.
Right.
You should understand when you're getting a courtesy invite, if that's you, and politely decline. If you're the father-in-law, the brother-in-law.
And do you want to be there to watch this person doing Around the World or the mudslide or the golden whatever or lick the whipped cream off of whoever when you are the brother of the sister who's getting married to this guy or the father or the whoever?
You too. Hmm? Bono's married to the Edge's sister.
Oh.
And he watches her like a hawk. Watches him like a hawk.
And whenever I think about Bono and the Edge, I think about poor Larry Mullins. But, and I always think it's going to go, what's your name, Bono? Who are you? I'm the Edge. Who are you? Larry?
Yeah. But let me just say, because I've heard these words a couple of times involved with Danny Bonucci's soon-to-be a bachelor party, or whatever we're going to call it, Bonucci's bachelor party. I've heard the word wet blanket. I've heard etiquette. I'd like to never hear these words again.
Well, you know, yes. Get them out of our system. Yeah. And by the way.
Now, there are certain things I see myself doing that I don't really want to do.
Right.
Like the lap dance thing I saw a deaf frat guy do.
Right.
My head will explode. I won't. That'll be a problem.
I'd like
me.
To see that.
But I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were in a public place, and some sex conversation came up, and he said, how would you do it in this place? And I had to look at my face and said, I've done it in this restaurant. Okay? The Key Club I've been to many a time.
But not in the salad bar this time, Danny. Please.
I don't hide that well.
All
that
is holy.
I just assume that the five people waiting outside the door know what I'm doing and I'll be done in a minute.
The Key Club. Have you done it in the Key Club then?
Yes, I have.
Good time.
It wasn't the Key Club then. It was Gazzari's.
Well, we discussed, and you know, we'll talk about this further, but we discussed Danny actually having another tryst this time at his bachelor party May 31st of a sexual nature. But remember Jen, who called in when Dr. Alter was here?
Yes, Jen, who used to be...
The transsexual.
Yes. There was discussion of her attending the bachelor party.
Fine with me. As long as it's a radio bit and nobody calls me Big Mo afterwards, not that I'd mind. Call me Mo all day. But I'll bone the transsexual. This is a show experiment.
Dude, are you gay?
Nope.
Jen
just curious.
Was a student out of Arizona State or somewhere
first
in
of
that
all,
neighborhood?
We have this guy in as an expert, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever checked his work?
Dr. Alter?
Yeah. You ever personally check up his work up front and gone comfortable?
No, I've only seen books that Dr. Alter has published, but I've not actually seen any of his afters in the flesh, as it were. But Jen, who sent us a picture, turns out to be very attractive.
And girlish.
And girlish. Yeah. And again,
I like that.
Maybe it is one of these things where a lot of folks that go the transgender route were chain-smoking long-haul truckers for the first 45 years of their life and then became a woman. Look.
Yeah.
Most chain-smoking, long-haul trucker women couldn't become attractive women at age 55 again. Forget about the dudes.
Right.
But she did it early.
Yeah.
She went at like 19 or 20.
Very young. She's still in college.
And is in a sorority.
And she's offered to come out.
All right.
To show, to help educate the world.
I would, I gotta say, I'm always quick to say no way. As far as the tranny goes, but after seeing a picture of her.
No, tranny. I'm not doing
tranny.
Oh,
sorry. I mean trans.
She's a transsexual.
If we're going to refer to this person as a she in a legitimate sense.
She is a she.
And it's taking one for the team. I almost certainly do it.
Well, again, transsexual and transvestite shouldn't hit start with the same trans.
I am. Exactly. You should not get on the same tram to get to the same tram. I agree with you completely. But if I'm going to just break out what has been welled up inside me for years, I'm doing it with at least two real chicks first.
Fair enough.
Okay, thank you.
We want all your dreams to come true. It's your day.
That's right.
The day, I can't wait to see what flies out of you.
The day is May
31st. It's your day. I mean it.
May 31st at the Key Club out here on the fabulous Sunset
Strip. It is so going to rock.
And at 7 o'clock, I think Kim will be there. He is the planner of all bachelor parties. He did mine. Mine was fine. I had a good time. I actually did something that is a little bit different, which is we went to Lake Tahoe. Everyone goes to Vegas or maybe Mexico or something like that. Lake Tahoe has gambling. Lake Tahoe has clubs. Lake Tahoe has buffets. They have bars. They have everything Vegas has. and they have a beautiful lake in clear air, and we all stayed in a huge cabin and partied our asses off. The only problem is I had to sleep with my buddy Ray. Because it was one of these things
that
where
is a bachelor party.
It's 14 guys and there's four rooms up in the cabin.
Right.
And my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, gets sick every time we travel. And when you get sick, you need your own room. He always has some ass-related problem when we travel that gets him his own room. So there was that. Then there was a room filled with bunk beds that Jimmy and his cousin Sal slept into that I just knew was gas alley, because after the heater was on all night and I opened the door, a wind of stink came out of that room, because they're the gassiest men I know that would take a full-size camel just down, just knock it just flat on its side, wouldn't even bend its knees. So I had to sleep with my buddy Ray. Well, that's bad enough on your bachelor party, except for Ray had ringworm. At the time, Ray, perhaps you remember this.
And then I got ringworm now, by the way.
You do?
Check it out.
The other problem with Ray is Ray's a hoarder. Hoarder of bed space, hoarder of comforters, hoarder of everything. And I didn't want to make contact with his skin, so I slept with half my body hanging off the mattress and no sheet. Ray slept in a crucifix position in the middle of the bed, covered with a comforter.
That's my boy.
You get to find out. By the way, you do get some insights into people's psyche when they fall asleep. You show me a person who gets in a fetal position, goes off to the corner of the bed, I'll show you someone I can hang with. You someone who wraps them up like some sort of pita pocket. You took every cover on my bed, Ray.
I don't know. It's habit. That's the way I work. All right. That.
And the ringworm.
How'd you get that?
I don't know. I don't really
you
know.
Here's how you get ringworm. You have to be barefoot and step in elephant flop. That's your doctor calling.
Adam, this is radio.
You have to be barefoot and walk in dung. Now, Ray spends quite a bit of his time barefoot, but I don't know where you found the elephant flop.
I don't know either. I really don't. And actually, I think you do get it from excrement.
Ray, let me ask you a hypothetical.
Really? Because I had it once in my stomach when I was a kid, and I don't remember any excrement.
I don't either. I think it's a virus or something.
How is it that you can live in a third world and that yet not live in a third world? You personally have imposed a third world on yourself, Ray.
Well, he's over the scurvy.
Walks around barefoot.
I did purchase a wallet, AC. Check it out.
Oh, he finally got a wallet. Yes. He's 43, everyone. He got his first wallet.
Bank account?
You should alert the media.
Got it.
All right. So you're not paying your phone bills in cash anymore, Ray?
Oh, Jesus. Why did I walk in here?
All right, Ray. Walk out, would you?
Ray, take this with you. It's my first business card ever.
We need to take ourselves
Corolla all over my business card.
We need to take ourselves a break.
This is great.
Danny Bonaducci's bachelor party.
Mark your calendars.
Yeah, Thursday, the 31st, 7 o'clock at the Key Club. We'll keep you posted.
I mean, debauchery aside, this could be a really, really, really good time.
Well, it is, and, you know, you do these things where you have these parties, or you do these Cinco de Mayo things, or you do these Christmas things, or you do your whatever in the world of radio, but I've never done a bachelor party, and I'm excited.
I've never been to one.
Never been?
Yeah.
I think I've been to one once.
I'll tell you the worst. We need to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you the guy who, if you're planning on going to Bonaducci's bachelor party,
and you better be.
You need to kill yourself right now. If you are this guy. Because I'll tell you the worst human being on the planet as it pertains to bachelor parties. And then we'll do Music Mondays. It is prom season. We all brought in our prom pictures, or at least me and Teresa did. And they will be posted at AdamCarolla.com.
I searched high and low, and so did my wife.
If you want to see what at least Adam and Teresa looked like at the prom, my prom queen passed away about 5 years later, very sadly. But you can see a picture of her and a picture of me at 18 with a little sunburn and a few extra pounds on me. If you want to go to AdamCarolla.com, we'll do Music Monday. And why prom? Well, it's prom season. We thought best and worst prom songs. When you're on the floor at your prom with your sweetheart having a dance, what do you want to hear? What don't you want to hear? That and the worst guy to ever attend a bachelor party next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's another Music Monday, this time best and worst prom songs. Call 866-901-ADAM. Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
First, quickly, just to finish off from our Bonaducci bachelor party on the 31st, the worst guy at the bachelor party. I saw this guy from the frat guy. I think it was Kevin of Kevin and Bean, local Los Angeles radio guys, Kevin and Bean, where I went to this one in Vegas. I think it was Kevin's, but either way, I remember Kimmel was there, and that's about all I can remember. There is the guy who didn't make the cut. He didn't get invited, but he's a best bro of one of the guys who did and went with him.
Right.
So, A, he shouldn't have been there in the first place, and then B, he got loaded, talks everyone's ear off, because guys at bachelor parties have raps. There'll be the drunken guy who has the rap. He's explaining how he's starting a T-shirt business, and he's told you 27 times about his new crappy T-shirt business. And then he gets drunk, and then the stripper shows up. And while the bachelor is getting the lap dance, he wants to go in and cop a little ass grab feel. She gets PO'd at him. He starts yelling, hey, bitch, you don't like it. You can hit the whatever. Next thing you know, she's pissed off. She's split.
And they don't come alone.
Right.
They usually have security.
There's a huge man of color who's going to bash you over the head with a boom box and not make change for the nice white folk anymore.
Right.
Because the loud guy who shouldn't have been there in the first place got too loaded and got the chick driven off. But because he's a blowhard loudmouth, he explains he has connections and don't worry, he's going to make this right. 14 beers and 500 phone calls later, when nobody shows up, you guys all decide to head down to the buffet and cut your losses. That guy. The guy who goes to the bachelor party and takes over because he gets loaded and thinks it's his bachelor party.
That happens all
the rule all the time. Is there's only one bachelor in a bachelor party. I don't care how drunk or how horny you get. If it's not your bachelor party, leave the chick alone.
You know, we were talking just a bit about, I hated the word, or ethics or moral wet blanket, whatever we were saying about the bachelor party, because I really want to just have a great time and try and get this all behind me. And then that song that just let us in wonderful tonight is Gretchen and my song.
All right,
well, we won't be playing that at the bachelor party.
No. So thank you, too, for that.
We will not. And speaking of music, it's Music Monday, and we decided... Come on. We decided to go with a prom theme. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and see my prom picture, and you can also see Teresa Strasser's, by the way. But the songs, when you hit the dance floor of your prom, you'd like to hear, and one you wouldn't like to hear. We'll start with one I would like to hear. This is was a suggestion that I wholeheartedly agreed with. Teresa, sing along.
She's got a way about her.
Wow. Don't I have a horrible voice, but I love this song.
I don't even love this song, but I do agree that it's a good song. And if you were on the dance floor and the night was winding up and it was a question between whether you guys went up to the lake to see what base you could get to versus dropping her off, this would help. Little slow dance, hands in the small of her back, pretending like you like this song.
See, I have a problem with songs like this and dancing.
Well, you don't have to dance. That's the beauty of it.
It's the erection.
Oh.
I get this was noticed recently. I've been trying to make new friends who have to know certain things about me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And somebody brought up just a minor discussion about women doing something, and I said, I have to stand up and, like, put my hands in my pockets and fix myself. And they said, do you really have an erection? I said, I have an erection if the wind blows. You guys have to, you have to understand that about me.
That's why I tucked it into my cummerbund.
That's why I constantly do the beer for. Yeah.
It's the only practical purpose it can do.
If she digs it, that's really cool. But if she doesn't dig it and all of a sudden just feels it against the lower of her stomach, she just goes like, well, because I'm short. Maybe they feel it against their chest with you. Or maybe they feel it against their knee. But either way, it's like, what? I don't know. It's pretty embarrassing.
Hit it with the wrist corsage. That's what I said. Wrist corsage. I got my date the anklet. Anyway, that is a good song to be played at the prom. But here's a bad one. This one you don't want to hear when you're out on the dance floor.
Rape me.
Good call.
Inappropriate for a prom theme.
Yeah, gets them right out of the mood.
Rape me. Certain ones get in the mood, but you don't want those ones.
Yeah.
Rape me. Oh. You guys don't know as many chicks as I know.
All right, that one's on the nose.
That's on the nose.
Now, here's the next one in the good department. Beach Boys. Beach Boys have some bad songs. They have some good songs. This is one of the good ones. This is just such a Brian Wilson and a company at their best.
We had a major faux pas with this guy the other day.
We saw him in the bathroom.
But you didn't see him. You saw him in the hallway.
I saw Brian Wilson go down the hallway. I walked into the bathroom. Bonaducci was doing a number one. And I said, guess who you just shared a bathroom with? Brian Wilson. And you said, didn't see him.
And I turned next to him. And a guy comes in. And the guy next to me walks out. That guy goes, hey, you were just whizzing next to Brian Wilson. So Brian Wilson was in the bathroom for that whole conversation of Adam saying, that was Brian Wilson whizzing. Brian was still there.
No, I passed him in the hall.
He must have come back. Oh, that was really? Him standing next to me when you said it. And well, I just didn't recognize him.
He, not sure if he'd recognize any conversation anyway.
Yeah,
although
that's
he
true.
Does seem to be in better shape these days. But
he's no pet sounds, but he's pretty good.
He's actually making pet sounds now. When you say hi to him, he goes, ooh! I just always love this song.
We should have him at the bachelor party.
Yeah. I like him because didn't he get depressed and stay in bed for a year?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Any guy who packs on 100 pounds and never leaves bed and his bed and can afford to do it, he's a hero of mine.
Yep, me too.
All right, a
it's
little
very sweet.
Little Beach Boys
yeah,
for
you.
That is a good prom song. Here's a bad one. Now you gotta listen to the words here. Stranglehold, baby. I remember Ted Nugent being interviewed about that song, and they're like, don't you think that's a little misogynistic, Ted? And he's like, no, not at all. It's just about getting a chick in a stranglehold and then crushing her face. I, yeah, that's what we meant. Yeah, stranglehold, not a great, good riff. You know, the thing that's funny now, too, is when Madison Avenue adopts all these classic 70s rock songs, they love the stranglehold riff. Right. I see it popping up in a lot of movies and commercials and things like that. And it's a cool riff, and it's great if you're selling an SUV and the guy's going through the mud and he's in his new Nissan. It's just when you get a little further on in the song and the guy's talking about slamming heroin.
Well,
and
they usually cut that part.
I know they cut that part, but it reminds me of getting a chick in a stranglehold and then crushing her face. Not going mountain biking with my good-looking white buddies and the one black couple. All right. We are moving ahead, not with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci and their contributions to the best and worst prom songs. T, what do you got, baby doll?
Okay, well, my junior year, I didn't go to the prom because nobody asked me. Yeah, and then I told everyone that I had a dance practice, and that's why I didn't go, so I made a whole lie. So I lived through...
By the way, you picked the one thing that you can actually do at the prom. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you picked any other practice...
Yeah. Well, sword swallowing.
Well, I was in the musical at school, at another school, and I said we had rehearsal that night, which we did not, because I was embarrassed that nobody asked me. So I lived that year, and by the way, the prom pictures that we put up online, I put a picture of me. I think there's a picture of me at home with my family, which is where I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived through the movies, and in particular, Molly Ringwald. She's who I related to.
Ah.
That's kind of sad.
Is this from Pretty in Pink or
yes,
something?
Yes, If You Leave. Remember, what about prom, Blaine?
That's right.
Prom?
Blaine wouldn't take her to prom, but Ducky Boy was there.
Right, because she was from the wrong side of the tracks, and he was fancy.
Sure, that's how it used to work when I was in high school. I was in high school in the 80s. I know how it worked. If one of my single successful jock buddies was dating a really hot chick, except for it turned out that we checked the FICO score of her dad, and he made less than 30 grand a year, I would pull him aside while I was chain smoking with no socks and Italian loafers. I'd go like, you don't get it, man. She's not good enough. She's not one of us. I'd give that discussion where she's back in the townies.
He comes back in the end.
In high school, you don't know. First off, any kid that had a Schwinn was rich when I was in high school. Right. That's the way I looked at it. If you wore jeans that were designer, you were rich. I don't know where you were from. We didn't know who was rich and who wasn't rich. If you dressed halfway decently like Molly Ringwald did and you were cute, it was open season. Yeah,
absolutely.
Wasn't like, dude, why are you humping that chick? She's not rich.
Well, she had a Carmen Ghia. How'd she afford that?
Was every third goddamn movie in the 80s about being rich and then about rich people pulling aside other rich people and going, you don't understand, man.
Right.
She's not one of us. In which place, the thing is look, I got another 3 weeks before I go off to college, so I'm going to hump her about as much as I can.
Has anybody ever heard another human being, especially a male human being, say about a girl that was about to have sex with you, and one of your friends in his members only jacket says, you can't do it. She's not one of us.
Right.
If she was the proud possessor of a vagina, your friends encouraged you right away.
Well, in John Hughes'
she
world,
from the wrong side of the tracks. She'd be actually laying on the tracks with the train coming, and if you have time to finish, she's from the right side
of
the tracks.
Like a 31-year-old James Spader is dressed like Don Johnson, and he's chain-smoking. He's smoking in the hallway, and he's like, listen, Tyke, you don't get how things work around here, dude. It's like, we're in high school. I have a boner.
Yeah, right.
Then the thing that's funny is Spader would have like his henchmen, you know, like anyone had henchmen in high school, and he'd put out his cigarette with his Italian loafer, and he'd be like, get him, mop up. I'm going back to AP history.
Well, Andrew McCarthy shows up back at the prom, and he realizes he was all wrong about Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, that happens too.
That's good stuff. Now, what is bad?
Okay, this is also from a movie, because again, I didn't go. A repressed
sexually... You didn't go to the prom. You did go to the movie.
Yes, a repressed sexually awkward teenager is emotionally abused by her unstable mother, but everything looks up because she finally gets invited to the prom, and it's her greatest moment of her life because a popular guy invites her, and then this song plays.
Now, I'd be thinking Carrie.
See, I was just thinking that, and I thought, don't say it.
This song sounds...
This is from the movie Carrie.
Oh, okay.
It's playing during the prom scene.
Has the blood fallen on her head yet?
This is just about when the pig's blood falls on her head. When she thinks she's been crowned the queen of the prom, instead she's been made a fool of again. And then she hears in her head, everyone's going to laugh at you. They're going to laugh at you.
Evil, popular, good-looking people strike again.
Just when I thought I had a kind of a handle on how crazy you are and in what kind of specific dementia you lived, you add a new level, which I really like.
I'm richly hued, Danny.
You are indeed.
Mm.
Wouldn't this be a horrible prom theme?
Yes, and not only is it a horrible prom theme, but if you didn't know this was from Carrie, it would be horrible. When you know, it's extra on the nose and extra horrible. Nice job, T. Bonaducci.
Yes, my dear.
Your offerings.
My offerings. Now, this song was on the list from the get-go. The second you said I got this, I won prom themes. This song was on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't decide good or bad.
Interesting.
Wow.
You know why? Because the lead up to this is like really slow and then turns into this disco. It's telling you in the beginning of the song is, this is it. Sleep with the fat chick.
Right.
You came alone. Your girl dumped you. Mm-hmm. You got your sister's cousin to bring you to the prom.
Right.
This is it, you know? Bring down the notches. I know you wanted a 7, but sleep with the 3 and get some on prom night.
I'll hold 2 at 10.
So I went with good because it's a motivator to get you up and say, you know what? That chick with the glasses that always had that little something in the kind of her nose and that white goo in the sides of her mouth, you should bone her now. This is the last chance.
Train slaving.
I
want to go to Hawaii.
So I put it on the, you know, I don't care if her helmet is going to bang against the wall at the prom. It's your last chance of goodness.
Prom helmet. All right.
So I put on the good.
Give me the bad then.
All right. The bad is, and this is just actually because kind of the way I felt at the prom. I did go to the prom. I was very surprised I went to the prom. Mm-hmm. With a girl named Vicky Christie, and we wore matching powder blue tuxedos with tails. She was my first punk rocker. We went and saw a Blondie, and Iggy Pop was my first real date. So this is low budget because I still had this kind of rep, and I had no money. Everybody else was in limousines.
Aww. Who is this?
This is the Kinks with low budget.
Oh, this is the Kinks.
Did you have fun?
No. I know K-Time, my dad was there, who didn't, like, speak to me and hated me, but I was doing something of accomplishments as I can. And then I went back to my house and fell asleep, and her dad, who was a big Christian guy, too, kicked in the door of my apartment and started insisting we got married and stuff because he fell asleep at my house. Yes, I had a very good night.
She wore powder blue tux too.
With a hat and cane.
Yeah. Butch.
Cute.
She was rad. This chick was rad.
Punk rocker. Early punk rocker.
Just 1975, 17 years old, like way before anybody did anything. She would take so much speed every day, like Minnie White's, that she was stick thin. She took 10 showers a day, washed her hands constantly, and wore leather skirts and tiny, tiny shorts and shredded fishnets. High school punk. In 76.
I can dig it.
I can totally dig this chick. But the problem was, and she didn't care because she was truly punk. She wasn't playing.
Would she come to the bachelor party?
Vicky Christie? If I can find her, yes, she would.
She OD'd years ago, please. So this is one you wouldn't want to hear.
Especially at my school. Everybody was rich.
Yeah.
We need to take ourselves a break. When we come back on Music Monday, my number one good, my number one bad, Tease and Bonaduce's as well. Music Monday continues. We'll also take your calls, 866-901-ADAM. Best and worst prom next.
Back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. More prom songs. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we will get to the best and the worst of our prom songs and yours as well, 866-901-ADAM. But first, something that angered me. I just heard during the commercial. I heard a PSA, public service announcement, the click it or ticket campaign that we're obsessed with in this country. We never tell people to hurry up or drive like champions, or, by the way, that it's legal to turn right, that it's legal to turn right on a red in the state of California, which would move traffic along 10% faster, because everyone in California is from a place, whether it be another country or whether it be another state, where this wasn't legal. Right. So thus, that's what you do. You drive in 20 years in a place where it's not legal, and then you come to a place where it is legal, but we make no concerted effort to tell people it's legal to turn red, to turn right on a red when it's safe. So we slow things down 20%, but one thing we're obsessed with is the click or ticket campaign. Do we have that? Yeah, so let's hear that for those of you who've missed it.
From the crack of dawn to late at night, cops are on the lookout for seatbelt violations. It doesn't matter when or where you drive, wear a seatbelt or you will get a ticket. Cops are cracking down like never before. So remember, always buckle up or you will get caught day and night. Click it or ticket, paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I said Nine Inch Nails put together an original score for the crappy PSA. Well, look, everybody. Oh, God, I want. You know what my fantasy is? My fantasy is to walk into City Hall, go to whoever the department is of traffic or whoever does this, and just vomit all over the table. Just vomit and then jump up on the table and squeeze out a nice piece of soft swirl, because I have a buzzer that goes off in my car when the seatbelt is not on. Yeah. As a matter of fact, when I once in a while set something on my passenger seat, like my dog or some books or something like that, the weight will send the buzzer off to the point where I have to reach over while I'm driving and click the passenger seatbelt. Cars are that advanced. Yes, a bell goes off, an audible tone, a loud, annoying audible tone goes off.
A red person with a strap across them comes
and
up
a red person with a strap, a placard lights up. Now, if that's not enough to do it, your crappy PSA with the knockoff Nine Inch Nails music behind it played on my crappy morning show is not going to do it. So stop wasting everyone's time.
I don't know what we're
stop
yelling
Stop it,
about.
You retarded imbeciles, and start telling people it's legal to turn right on a red in California, but do we care? No. Click it or ticket.
Or ticket.
Oh, God damn. Shut up.
Did your prom just suck, Adam?
Oh, I know. I'm off the prom, but Jesus effing Christ. Why do we need PSAs when we've installed the buzzers in the lights in the goddamn cars?
If that PSA just would have been no glove, no love, we'd still be at the prom.
Right.
But all right. No, I will get back to the prom, but let me say this.
True.
Let me say this. And by the way, I've asked and attempted to speak to the people that do these PSAs.
That's what I like about you.
Many, many times. And the answer is no. Of course it's no. You guys are horrible at your job. You waste tons of taxpayer money telling people to put their seatbelts on in airplanes and in cars and all sorts of other crappy messages that we already got and we don't care about, and you do nothing but waste our money. You never address anything. Now, here's an example of something that could focus on. We have a big problem with energy and wasting energy. We have a big problem with fuel and the cost of fuel getting near $4 a gallon in many states. Cars, when the tires are properly inflated, will get 25% better gas mileage. I would reckon that most of the people you know are driving around with underinflated tires or unevenly inflated tires. What's that cause? Well, instead of getting 25 miles to the gallon, you get 18 miles to the gallon, and your car tires wear out twice as fast, filling the landfills. And if you're driving an SUV, there's a much higher chance that one of them may blow out and you may roll your car. And all those Explorers that were rolling a few years ago with the defective tires, the thing that was defective is people didn't keep them properly inflated, and they blew out, and people are dead because of it. Now, PSA about putting air in your goddamn tires, that would be fine. But nope, click it or ticket. Click it or ticket. Slow it down. Click it or ticket. Oh, you guys are so retarded, and you're such cowards because you'll never talk to me about this. I can't get anyone from the ad council to ever confront me on this, and all they do is waste our taxpayer money. All right. Click it or ticket.
Click it or ticket.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. If every pair of pants mandated, this is mandated by the government, the federal government says every pair of pants manufactured, every pair of men's pants must have a red light that lights up and an audible 10 decibel bell that goes off when the zipper is down.
That just happened to me.
If this is what, if this is mandated, how many PSAs would we need to hear that said, make sure and zip up when you're done taking a whiz? You would say, well, that's insane. Yeah. My pants have a buzzer that goes off when my zipper's not up. Yet, this is all we do. Put your seatbelt on in the airplane, click it or ticket in the car. We have things that light up and make noise.
I shouldn't actually try to install that on my zipper.
When it went down.
Oh, you're on a roll today.
All right. I'm sorry, but okay. The only thing that makes me more mad about this is how other people don't care. How we could move this city 10% faster with a little bit of a campaign about turn right on the red or what have you, and yet slow it down, click it or ticket. Fantastic, retards. You're doing a fine job. T, I'm fired up now.
I know.
Good and bad in the prom department.
This is a good song. I am only slightly embarrassed to like it, but I think it's thematically perfect. Do you know it?
Is it the whatever version of something? Oh, is this Alanis Morissette?
It's Natasha Bedingfield, Unwritten.
Oh, it just sounds like Alanis Morissette.
She does. It's a really beautifully written song, even though it was in that awful traveling sisterhood pants thing.
I heard that was cute.
Did those pants come with a light that said that when the fly was...
Isn't this a nice song?
Wow, it just sounds so much like Alanis Morissette. Maybe I just thought this was her. So, what are we doing to this song, T?
You and me?
Yeah.
We're thinking about our future and how bright it is. It's unwritten.
But am I going to get laid or what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a great song.
It may be release your inhibitions.
Right. Anything carpe diem means you'll get laid.
Okay, so live for tonight.
Right.
Okay, good. Give us the bad.
I didn't know you called it a diem because I'm in the carpe.
Well, here's the bad. Now, as I mentioned, I did not go to my junior prom because no one asked. I went to my senior prom with my inappropriately old boyfriend who was 26. I dated him for 5 years. Somebody had some daddy issues. Now, that is one of the many reasons why this song would not be appropriate for a prom.
Hot for teacher.
My prom date older than several of my teachers.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Sure. Graduate college at 22, take your whatever, do your credential. 23, 24, you're going to be teaching 18-year-olds.
Oh, wow, man.
Do you like this song? Or maybe it's just every time I think of the song, I think of the super hot chick walking down the desktops. Either way, good times.
I don't think I'd have noticed this. I don't think I've thought of it until now. Remember that girl with the four words ruined my life?
Yeah.
Your dad already paid?
Yeah.
I finally asked her, I said, am I really as old as your dad? She said, you're 2 years older than my dad.
And isn't she a teacher?
Yeah.
So you're hot for teacher.
A very, very good teacher from what I understand.
Well, Danny, what do you got? Two good offerings from Teresa Strasser. And again, we have a... phone bank filled with your good suggestions as well. But, Danny, who do you have in the good and then the bad department?
Well, this
on the
might
front?
Be a little on the nose if you're a really bad shot or just being cruel. It is from AC/DC. It didn't chart, and it's called Let Me Put My Love Into You.
Don't you fight.
Saddle. Yeah.
Don't you worry, because it's your turn.
How can you put your love in somebody?
I'll show you. We'll get her ticket. We'll have safe sex. We'll wear our safety belts.
Drive like champions.
Yeah, see, this is before the guys like James Blunt used to sing, "You're beautiful." This is what guys who just smelled of Jack Daniels would scream about humping women. Don't be uptight. Let me put my love in you. Yeah. Let me do it tonight.
Tonight we graduate. Don't make me masturbate. You know, so I was like, for real, here's to the point.
All right, so that's good. Give me the bad.
The bad one, I think we can all agree on this. Ooh, Brian's like shivering.
Huey Lewis.
But if this is it. Number six, 1984.
Top 10.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Yeah, no place for Huey to pronounce.
The good news is you're fired.
Kimmel's in New York, so say whatever you want about Huey, but get it out of your system.
I actually happen to like Huey. I just thought if this is it, it's just so funny.
Well, and Jack Silver has contribution.
Like to make you're killing me again!
I did one new one. What do you
going
have?
Going back a little
Ace,
bit.
You brought one up earlier, I think. It's a little more appropriate as a prom song.
James Blunt?
You're beautiful.
This
brings me back to the last prom I ever went to.
Is this song from like a year
Some
ago?
Some 9 months old, Jack.
Yeah, it is.
You're 49-year-old man.
Yeah, it really takes you back, doesn't it? The corsage on her
back
arm.
To September?
The smell of perfume and pepper spray lingering in the air. Brand new bottle of roofies burning a hole in my pocket.
Jack, going to the prom.
Well, you're definitely not gay.
That's James Blunt. Couldn't be more gay.
All right, let's get to my offerings now. In the good department, stands on its own, maybe with one shaky leg. But because it was my prom song, I think it was my graduating song that turned into my prom song. A little something from Styx. I think this was our graduation song.
I know you feel these are the worst of times. I do be.
So I'm assuming this was pumping throughout the prom because it was just a few weeks before graduation.
When people lock that door.
Now, was your prom date a girlfriend or just a prom date?
Rumor has it, it's the end of fair.
She was just a prom date. And, you know, there's two strategies. As far as the prom goes, and I've always been probably different than Bonaducci in this aspect, which is, you know, I was coming in at a solid 5.5 to 6 on the desirability chart. I was captain of the football team, but it was during a time when no one cared about who was on the football team. And I was popular, but more with the fellas than with the ladies. And as far as potential goes, well, if you would hang out with me for another 13 years and watch me dig ditches and clean carpets over at the Red Onion, then eventually there'd be a payday, although I'm sure we'd be divorced only months after I got famous.
I can't believe that we both worked at the Red Onion.
So... Well, I just cleaned the carpet. I had too much pride to actually work there during business hours. But the point is now you have a decision. Do you want to shoot down? Do you want to head down to 4?
Right. You might get lucky.
And definitely get laid. Or do you want to try to climb up to an 8 or 9 and take your chances? Now, that is the spin of the get laid wheel. You're probably not going to get laid. On the other hand, you have a beautiful woman on your side the whole time and something to aspire to.
Yeah.
I went with the beautiful woman route.
Were you nervous when you asked her?
Yeah, she didn't even go to our school. She was beautiful and much too good for me, but she went along anyway, even though the prom's one of those things where you know they'll go even if they're only halfway interested in you. A chick that wouldn't go on a date with you might go to the prom with you just because it's the prom and you're paying and all that good crap. We made out a little, but I don't think I got any. And then I heard she tragically died like 5 years later, just dropped dead in like an aerobics class.
Like an aneurysm or something?
Yeah. She was beautiful. She went to UC Santa Barbara. I mean, we never saw each other again because she was heading for UC Santa Barbara and I was heading for Van Nuys to clean carpets with Ray. But she died and I got to maybe first base with her. So that was the best of times. Now, the worst of times, the worst prom song that could possibly be played.
I can see it.
Oh my God.
Faces glowing.
I think we played this one a few months back.
Yeah. I can see it in your eyes. I'm happy in knowing.
Sing along, T.
That you're having my baby.
Having my baby.
You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you.
It gets a little weird here if you listen.
Having my baby.
It gets a little weird here.
You're a woman in love, and I love what's going through you.
Love what's going through you. Like you're passing a kid. Like your kid's a gallstone.
I see it showing.
Showing.
Oh, the seed inside your baby. Do you feel it growing?
Seed inside is growing. It's like, look, come on, buddy. Number one, everyone. You want to know how much pot we were smoking? Here's this. You know how much weed we were smoking in 1974?
Is that all like that was 74?
Yes. All right. Now your offerings for best and worst. Let's see. Let me check down the line here. Line two. I'm not sure if this is a good or a bad one. Tony?
Yeah.
Your offering is what?
The Stroke by Billy Squier.
Okay.
Is that good?
Stroke me?
Well, I thought it was good at the time. That was our prom song in 1987.
Really? Stroke? Well, there's two things that this connotes. It either actually having blood clot go to your brain and have you struck out. The other is something you get in the back of a car that's somewhere between second and third base.
Well, or the sad part is this guy could be talking to himself.
Or you had a stroke and you're talking to yourself. Either way.
No, he's in the bathroom going, you're not going to get me. So come on,
you're doing it.
Well.
You're taking care of yourself. Yeah, okay. Either way, I feel like one of the administrators at school should have got involved with this one being your prom song. All right, what school did you go to?
Oh, it's at Claremore High in Claremore, Oklahoma.
Ah, it's right. When you know, it's weird. Los Angeles has
to be
one of the only cities where this happens. When you see somebody and you say, oh, where do you live? And they go, oh, I'm out in the valley. I'm out in Sherman Oaks. You go, oh, what high school did you go to? Did you go to Grant? Did you go to North Hollywood? They go, no, I grew up in Boston. Yeah. You realize, oh, well, that's right. Nobody here is from here. So if you go back, if the guy's 40 years old, you go back 20-something years, he's not from here.
And that's why people here, I think, are so pretty, because the captain of the football team and the head cheerleader both moved here from Nebraska to be movie stars, failed miserably, but bred.
Right.
And they keep breeding these
They're
more
They're good
and
looking,
more gorgeous
but it's
people.
Why we don't have a football team. Nobody cares. What do you need a football team? You're a big Pats fan. Yeah. You're just out here killing time. Don? Caller who goes by the name of Don. All right.
From Portland. Right.
Well, we have his
Good
song.
Day, sir.
Anyway, he has a song I really enjoy from Sublime.
It's a good one.
Had a drink about an hour ago, sitting in the corner by herself, in a bar in downtown hell. She heard a noise and she
I like it because doesn't she get her revenge in the end?
He does.
Well, he goes to prison and another guy date rapes him in the end, right?
Stay rape in prison. Cellmate rape.
I guess you could look at prison as one long date.
Very long date.
Sure. Well, do we need to get to it? Ah, hell, let's listen to it.
Yeah.
It's at least 2 minutes away.
Really?
Now, babe, the time has come. How'd you like to have a little fun? And she said, if we could only please be on our way, I would not.
Oh, I saw a good one too called in.
Out of control. She didn't want to. He had his face. She said, let's go. He said, no way. Come on, babe. It's your lucky day. Shut your mouth. We're gonna do it my way. Come on, baby. Don't be afraid. If it wasn't for day rape, I'd never get laid.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, let's do one last one. Line 7.
It's an upbeat song about date rape.
Brian.
Well, mostly they are.
Mike?
Yeah?
From Portland, what do you got?
Well, I don't know if you've ever had the privilege of speaking to an actual prom king, but you are right now.
Wow.
His majesty.
There you go. There you go. By way of a coup, though, so wasn't real.
Well, you
this is amazing.
Either way, you were the prom king. And now, ironically, where do you work?
I own my own company, Mural Painting.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's nice.
No, I do very well.
Okay.
At Portland?
Yep.
All right. And your contribution to our list is what song?
That would be Smack My Bitch Up by Prodigy.
Nice.
Nice thinking.
This video, which was banned, was a great
video.
And it's one of these things... It's our society at its worst, which is everyone thought this was a guy.
It's a perspective, one long perspective shot of this person doing horrible things.
Yes, as the reason you didn't see the video is it was banned. It was, as we call in the movie making business, the POV, the point of view of what you thought was a man.
Right.
You saw him go into a club. You saw him dancing. You saw him drinking. You saw him having sex. You saw him smacking girls around. You saw him doing all these horrible things. And at the very end, when the point of view, meaning the camera lens, you never saw the person, looked in the mirror, it was a woman. So it was a really interesting twist, but everyone freaked out just because the song was called Smack My Bitch Up, and they thought it was a misogynistic song, and they thought it was a guy, and they never really examined it. It's sort of like when Bush wanted to use Born in the USA, or Reagan wanted to use Born. He didn't realize it was an
anti-American
song, and the right and left are both guilty of this. They thought this was, and it really had an interesting message. At least the video was really interesting. Yeah. And I don't even like Prodigy, and I was like, wow, that's a great video, but we banned it.
You can track it down on YouTube. It's really good.
All right, so check that out.
The Republican Party and other people that don't think things all the way through, like they wanted to use, Reagan wanted to use Born in the USA as his theme, as his anthem, and Bruce Springsteen said absolutely not. And then he went and played New York or Giant Stadium in New York City and sang 41 Bullets about the New York cops shooting Amadou Diablo 41 times.
Right.
And they split. Every cop in the stadium left, and Bruce was on his own.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to think these things through, kids.
I guess so. We will hear that, boss man. We'll take a break. When we come back, the party continues with Ozzy and Ray.
Are they going to be at my bachelor party?
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
Hang on.
They will be there from hook or come crook. They're going to review Georgia rules. But more importantly, Ray will tell another disgusting story about us from high school. Next on the Adam Carolla Show. Just because of the name, and found out the old lady was named Georgia.
Yeah. And the other girl's name is Lindsay Lohan.
And how Felicity Huffman is slowly turning into a blowhard every time I hear her talk about
and
the privilege
man.
Of, and how, yeah. And, well, it all started when she was nominated for Trans America about 3 years ago, where she was explaining that how important the work that she was doing. And I just know from personal and inside sources, blow hard. Saw her on The View. I'm forced to watch The View every Sunday morning to get some quality time in with my wife and kids. And She was skirting around the question about Lindsay Lohan, because the big story of this movie is Lindsay Lohan. It was the movie where Lindsay Lohan wasn't showing up, right, and they were getting letters written to the from the studio head. And
which
blah,
never happens.
Blah, 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 blah. And then you have to go on The View and pretend like she was great. And then there's one of these things where it's like, all right, so let me get this straight. She was a total pro. She was always on time and never gave anyone a problem. Then why did the head of the studio write a letter begging her to come back, or basically admonishing her for not showing up on the set and being hungover and being late almost every day? We have a splashy opening, and then we'll get to the review.
Oswaldo
and Ray,
tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo
and Ray.
Tell us.
Movie Ray and I saw this weekend was Georgia Rule. Georgia Rule star Jane Fonda is Georgia.
Mm.
Lindsay Lohan is Rachel. And Felicity Huffman is Lily.
I like it better when you pronounce it Hoseman.
Yeah, me too.
Huffman.
There you go. That's it.
Georgia Rule is a film about one rebellious teenager who is uncontrollable and molested by her stepfather.
She's molested by her stepfather.
Yeah. Stepfather, yeah.
Nothing better in a lighthearted comedy than child molestation, alcoholism, and a domineering mother.
Yeah, it's great fun. Mm-hmm.
The grandmother, played by the grand star Jane Fonda, implants her rules into her granddaughter, Rachel.
She got implants?
No, implant, you know, Prison saying.
She instills her rules.
Yeah, instills the rules.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a clear that Georgia telling Rachel the rules.
Rachel, right.
Richard, the rules.
Richard, right.
Keep your dress on. I got you a job.
What? Starts Monday. Just a brisk walk from here. I'll wait till it's 7.
I'm not working.
One more rule. You live here, you work.
And her name is Georgia.
Correct.
So that's her rules.
She has rules.
Yes. I like that. And there's a lot of them.
It's good stuff.
One rule should have been, don't see this.
Nice.
So were you guys the only dudes in the theater, or were there other gay guys?
There were gay guys, exactly. Gay guys, lots of women, and kids. Real good topic for kids, too.
That's worse than a timeout.
Yeah, absolutely.
The second part, Adam Rule.
Adam Rules?
Yeah, he made a joke.
Thanks, Manny.
Oh, I see.
That's the sequel, Adam Rules.
Didn't we agree that you were going to throw a ball of foil at me and hit me in the forehead so I knew when you were making a joke?
It's okay.
Okay.
We need the sirens to go off.
Rachel.
There you go.
Look for somebody who believe in his personal tragedy.
Right.
And the violation from the bastard stepfather.
Who molested her.
Yeah.
The bastard.
Mm-hmm.
Bastard.
Did they have that scene in the movie, right? Because that's...
No, that's the only thing I was looking forward to that you couldn't see.
Nah. You don't do that. You don't talk about molestation and not show it. Come on.
They're not going to show it. No show.
No one in the town believed that Rachel was molested except the grandmother and the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel is the king, the slutty.
The slutty?
Yep, slutty.
You salute.
She has no boundaries. Mm-hmm. She's a little bit out there.
All right.
She's acting out.
Mm-hmm.
She's a seductress.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Rule, that's this reviewer call.
And that was Oswaldo.
And Ray.
We hope you did not end up too confused.
Well, Ray usually comes on and tells a story. This time I was reminded maybe it was Georgia Rule acting slutty. But Ray and my other best buddy, Chris, the two titans, two big scary guys I grew up with, started dating the same girl at one point. That's right. Ray was cheating. Ray was dating my buddy Chris's girlfriend at the same time.
Wow.
Longtime girlfriend. And it was scary because Chris was a very scary guy. Ray's a very scary guy. It's hard to tell who's scarier, but you don't want the two scariest guys in the room to get in a fight because the house will be destroyed. So they were keeping it on the DQ for quite some time. Did I say DQ?
They were disqualified.
Yeah, that's right. The QT for quite some time. But then we're at a party.
Out in Orange County.
Out in Orange County, where my buddy Snake later on got into a fight with who?
Me.
Oh, with Ray.
Of course.
He tried, they bit me.
He bit you, but you dislocated his shoulder?
Yeah.
All right.
And he scratched my cornea.
There was a lot of, it was a rough night. A lot of pottery. I remember a lot of outdoor pots being broken.
I accused him of killing his cat, remember? Wilshire.
Right.
Oh, did he kill his cat?
Well, he punched him.
The point is, cat?
No, he suffocated his bird when he got drunk and fell asleep on the bird.
That's true. Remus.
Right. Remus. That's right. We're all secretly glad the bird... Let me tell you something. All you bird owners, when your bird dies, everyone you know is secretly glad.
Right. We've heard this bird dying. Nobody
likes birds. Happiest day of my life. So, I had a parrot for a minute.
He's a guy who was a crazy guy, Snake was, or Todd, as we know him, as you know him. He one time put... I walked into his apartment or his condo. He put a can of dog food in his fireplace, and he was shooting at it with a gun. And I said, what are you doing there, Todd? And he said, I'm killing dinner for my dog. I'm going out getting dinner. But it was canned food, but he was still shooting it.
I like him.
He was shooting at the dog food in the fireplace. It's like a white trash bathroom.
Wait a minute. Not just the fireplace, but the fireplace was gas operated. So there's a gas line there.
Wow. Well, this guy was at a party with Ray. They were drunk. Later on, like I said, he ended up biting Ray in what, the ankle? What did he bite you
in? My calf. I still have a scar.
Bit you in the calf, but it's all right. You dislocated his shoulder during a fight out in the driveway.
Yeah,
and
I
these
won.
Guys were friends.
He had two knives.
He walked in on Ray making out with Chris's girlfriend. And he walked in and they were...
We were having at it.
They were having at it. And he was a good friend of Chris's as well as a good friend of Ray's.
Wow.
So what to do? Well, he thought fast.
And yeah, he was quick.
And
he
what
pulled
did,
me to the side.
And what
goes,
did he say, Ray?
Says, here's the deal. I'm telling Chris unless she makes out with me.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Nice.
Absolutely.
Now it seems like something out of a movie.
What?
Wait a minute. Then we had a debate for how many seconds.
She was a hot chick.
She was beautiful.
And look, why go rat Ray out? You know you're going to get punched, too. You're going to get in the middle. What's in it for you? Where's your vig?
10 seconds worth of making out and doing anything he wanted for 10 seconds.
Ray, did you ever consider sparing this girl making out with Snake by saying, okay, you can tell Chris?
Absolutely not.
No, because Chris was big and scary and drunk and a madman. Now... You then said you can make out for 10 seconds.
I gave him the okay, looked at Carrie, gave her a wink, and she was fine with it.
She understood how this was played.
She understood, yes. Because otherwise it would have been tragedy upon tragedy.
You stood there and watched Snake.
Oh, yeah.
Mouth
agape, stinking drunk.
Tongues flying.
Tongues flying.
Ray, did you like this girl?
Yeah, you better have liked her.
I was in love.
All right. And then later on...
You're a romantic bastard.
Snake, a French kissed your calf while you dislocated his shoulder in the driveway?
True. Huh? True. And then he had to go... He got carted off to the hospital. Good. It was a long ride in Sherman Oaks.
Good time, everybody.
Good time.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, nice job, Ozzy.
Yeah,
nice job,
you.
Ray.
Let me say something over that yesterday for the Mother Day. Mm-hmm. Mother Day is 365 days in the year.
That's right.
By the way, Ozzy brings flowers to my mother.
My wife and my grandmother, by the way.
Go, all Oz. Mother around me is a Mother Day.
Nice job, Mother Effer. We'll take a quick break. The news.
Yes, well, Rosie's telling a secret about Ellen and an open letter to Paris Hilton from Candy Spelling.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
I am the Golden God.
If you said Almost Famous.
I am a Golden God.
Yeah! You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, I thought that was the Doors, but maybe that's the Lizard King or something. Well, speaking of the Lizard Queen, T.
Yes.
What's in the news, everybody?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
A 12-year-old girl and her grandparents are suing the Chicago Board of Education, alleging that a substitute teacher showed the R-rated film Brokeback Mountain and caused the 12-year-old girl psychological distress. The film...
Where's her mom and her dad?
Doesn't say.
Want to talk about psychological distress.
There you go.
That would be my argument. I'd be like an insurance company saying, you want me to fix this door ding in the side of your car where the front end has been taken off? Are you high?
Yeah.
You want to talk about long-lasting psychological damage? Watching movies with a couple of gay hillbillies in it does not cause psychological damage. Certainly, it pales in comparison to your grandparents raising you, which means your parents skipped out the drug addicts or were cleaned out in a bus accident.
Yeah, this was a big story on CNN this morning. I got up real early, and they were all over this story. Like, it was this and another school story. That I'll bet you have coming up, so I won't interject with it. It's very odd.
I don't, but you're absolutely right. It's the grandparents, Kenneth and Laverne Richardson, who are seeking $500,000 in damages.
Sure.
And Grandpa's been upset at the school before for reading materials that he felt included curse words. And he's saying this was the last straw.
Yeah.
And that the girl needed counseling after seeing Brokeback Mountain and has never been
seen. I wish I knew how to...
Well, wait a minute. It was an actual clip from the movie, by the way. It was not altered in any way, shape, or form. Why was he showing Brokeback? I don't think... I hate people that sue people for anything, almost, unless you're burned over three quarters of your body. I don't like lawsuits. But why is the teacher showing Brokeback Mountain to sixth graders or whoever
to
it is?
To eighth graders, I think.
Eighth graders.
Arguably, an R-rated movie is not suitable for children that age, although... You know, it's a respectable movie, won three Oscars, and it does have some adult scenes.
First off, why are we showing movies at school? I mean...
Something happened. There was some kind of breakdown. There's a class planned.
Well, she was a sub. The teacher was a sub, and the sub came in.
Right, so you just have... You just have R-rated movies that depict homosexuality, and you just keep that in the bottom drawer in case the Duquesne projector breaks down, and you have to just show some gay porn.
Well,
First off, have Chitty Chitty Bang Bang locked and loaded in case the lesson plan goes out the window.
Have you ever played the theme song from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang backwards?
Have you ever heard it in German?
See, it means something about taking your pants off.
Ah,
this. Replaces the word chitty with something that starts with an S and an H.
I got you. Okay.
Yes.
Now, I know that you'll be forced to watch hours of The View over the weekend, and perhaps you'll see something interesting. Rosie O'Donnell opens up the mailbag.
Sharon. Why do you talk about being gay all the time and the subject of gays all the time? Ellen never mentions it. Ellen's not allowed to. She signed a contract that said she wouldn't.
She really?
It was on the heels of my show. That's why she doesn't. But you know what? She also paved the way for a lot of gay people, especially on TV. There were no gay shows on TV. Mm-hmm. She was pre-Will and Grace. Remember that. So, you know, I talk about gay because I like to. And she doesn't talk about it because she doesn't want to or she can't. But who cares? It's fine.
A rep for Ellen says Ellen is free to talk about whatever she wants, and we encourage her to do so. But Rosie's
saying that was Rosie's blog.
No, that was Rosie on The View.
No. That wasn't her on The View. Well, hey, the audio sounded horrible. No. Play it again.
Oh, those Yentas talking at once.
No. You're right. This is her video blog. My bad. You're right. She has a video blog.
Oh, and the crew was just sitting there. Yeah.
Those are just her home Yentas.
Yes.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yes, absolutely.
They're Yenta sheet fillers.
Yes.
Yes, nice. when you're bookended between the world's biggest Yentas and you get home and there's no chicks cackling behind you talking about nothing, there's a void to be filled.
Yes.
So she hires some fill-in Yentas.
Yes, she absolutely
Yenta
does.
Yenta stand-ins.
She keeps a video blog, and that was part of it. And saying that Ellen isn't allowed to talk about being gay.
Yeah, a little slap in the face.
Yeah, she tries to give her some credit in the end for pioneering.
Not really. But either way, I'm sure Ellen can talk about whatever Ellen wants to talk about.
Well, a horrible place to be gay is in the world of the mafia, as we learned last season. This is a spoiler alert. If you did not watch The Sopranos from last night, something is going to be given away right now. Chris Moltisanti passed away. There was a car accident. He was on his way out, and Tony helped him to shuffle off his mortal coils. Here, Tony is discussing it with Dr. Melfi.
How are you handling all this?
The worst part, truthfully,
is I got to sit there with people who are hurting. Bad. And I got to have the long face and the sighing and the platitudes. But I don't feel it. And that makes me feel like a hypocrite. And that makes me mad at them.
My wife literally had her hands, she was holding her hands in front of her face for the first half of the episode, like, oh my God. And then I thought, as I was watching her being visibly disturbed by Chris's death, I thought, you enjoy this so much more than I do, and I know why. You're the person who thinks I hurt my dog's feelings when I call her fat or when I don't say goodbye. Right. When I leave the house, you're buying into this.
Right.
This is a family member that just died in a car crash, and you're worshiping her hands up to her mouth the entire time. And I didn't want to ruin it for her and tell her, you know, this isn't exactly a family that exists. But boy, in shock, a shocker. Chris gone, and the realization that it's that close to the end. You can't get rid of somebody like that unless we're at the end. Speaking of the end, T?
Yes.
Can we do me a favor. Let's break this news in half, because we got the Candy Spelling open letter to Paris to get to, and the Glamour Sex Survey story I don't want to miss out either. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish the news next.
Hey, this is Norman Gowell. Listen to the Adam Carolla Show. Please do not call him. He doesn't care for that sort of thing.
Love, Norm MacDonald.
Me too.
T.
Yes.
Let's continue with the news.
Candy Spelling, the widow of Aaron Spelling, did such an incredible job of raising her daughter, Tori, that she's taken it upon herself to write an open letter to Paris Hilton, who's in a little legal trouble. This letter.
By the way, they have a 50,000 square foot home.
Right.
And she still managed to find her and screw her up.
Yes.
Right.
You know, my family, we had about 900 square feet in the bathroom. We shared the same bathroom oftentimes at the same time. Everyone lived on top of each other. It was easy to screw people up. But when you have 50,000 square feet and you still manage to screw up your daughter, you're really working hard.
Yeah, when you have a house, when they asked to explain it, the one that stuck with me is the gift wrapping room.
Yes, and the bowling alley.
The bowling alley, see, I see that for super rich people. I don't see a room built specifically to wrap gifts in.
Well, anyone who lives in a, knows somebody who lives in a 10,000 square foot house, knows someone who lives in a huge house. Now just go 50,000, and that's a spelling house.
Well, Candy's taken it upon herself to write an open letter to Paris Hilton, which she sent to the entertainment website TMZ.com. It's posted there if you want to read it in full. But here are some highlights from Candy to Paris. What?
First off, everyone who writes an open letter is a blowhard.
Yes.
There's not a human being that's ever sat down and penned an open letter that's not a colossal blowhard.
Right, if you cared, you'd write a private letter to share your thoughts with the person that you thought would be helpful.
Well, isn't that the essence of a letter? Other than that, it's a flyer.
Right.
Well, that's you're assuming that Candy Spelling assumes that Paris Hilton can read.
That's a good point. Maybe one of her handlers. Or maybe she has a dog that reads. Like blind people have a dog to tell them when to cross the street.
Don't bring Tinkerbell into this.
Okay.
She's just an innocent chihuahua. Here's some of the highlights from Candy to Paris. Paris, I'm very worried about you. The last week has not only been an obvious roller coaster for you emotionally, but your strategy went from blaming employees and stating silly excuses like, I don't read, to your new lawyer's tactic to have you sound mature and take some responsibility. In between, the paparazzi continue to follow you shopping and taking self-defense classes to protect yourself in jail. And some overzealous friends staged embarrassing protests, 3 people, and wasted taxpayer funds with a petition to pardon you. I am sorry you've been sentenced to jail. I can't think of too much that would be worse. But since you let this happen, use the next couple of weeks preparing not only by learning publicly to fight, not a good message to your fellow inmates, but by looking around, realizing that you are not as truly entitled as your money implies.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, knows more about life inside the joint than a chick who lives in a 50,000 square foot mansion in the middle of Bel Air who married the guy who did Charlie's Angels and The Love Boat.
And Fantasy Island.
And has never been near a prison.
Now, what I enjoy is that, first of all, that her name's Candy. Makes me laugh right off the bat.
Yes.
But I can't think of much worse
Now, how many do you think she could think of that are better? The list of things that are better than going to prison when it comes to a Spelling versus a Hilton. Almost everything. I can't think of much worse. Does that mean exactly? You're going to get run over by a steamroller and flattened out like Wile E. Coyote? That's worse?
I have no idea what happens to old ladies. Please, you have a few years left on this planet. Spend your ex-husband or your deceased husband's money and leave the open letters to the young blowhards.
How about what happens to young ladies?
Okay.
Yes.
Glamour magazine has tried to find out. They conducted a survey of more than 12,000 women about their sexual fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
This is a high number, I thought. And ironically, 69% mm-hmm. say they fantasize about having group relations. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seems like a lot.
Right, but let me explain something. Women fantasize about things that are fantasies when a guy fantasizes about something, he can't afford it.
Right.
You women fantasize about stuff like when a guy fantasizes about a car, that's a car he can't afford.
Right.
The second he gets 200 grand, he gets the Ferrari.
Absolutely.
Right. You guys can fantasize about all kinds of weird stuff. Doesn't mean you do it.
Right.
So, a guy that fantasizes about a threesome.
Which pisses me off, by the way.
If you give a guy an opportunity to be, here's the deal. There could be a guy who fantasizes about a threesome with two chicks who fantasize about threesomes, and the threesome wouldn't go down.
Well, absolutely.
The one guy would definitely be in, the two chick, they fantasize.
Well, 30% of women fantasize about getting spanked. You've probably run into this.
Now, that they
travels.
Want.
See,
that
you know
they
what? I have a
want.
Whole huge problem with that.
Why?
Because I can't do it. And I mean, I guess I could do it if they, like, really wanted me to and actually gave direct harder about their stuff like that. But I'm really grateful to women that have sex with me.
Well, you got to be
grateful. It's my favorite friggin' thing in the world to do. It's my favorite thing ever in life is to have sex. And the woman says, okay. And then wants me to spank her. I really have to be talked into that she really wants me to do this.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from.
You know what I mean? I'd rather buy them a gift.
Right.
And take them dancing.
You don't want to hurt them?
No.
Well, 27%.
But I do want to make them scream and shout and go, yeah, you're the best. Because I'm going to go tell all my friends I boned the guy from the Partridge Family.
Yes, but here's the thing. Would you tape it? Because 27% of women say they fantasize about being in a porno movie.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% say they regularly have fantasies about having sex with other women. 13% say they'd go even farther. They want to have sex with female friends that they currently have. And most surprising of all, perhaps, 12% of women surveyed have had a fantasy in which they're kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the happy rape one that we're talking about earlier?
Yeah, it's the... well.
You're taken against your will.
Women right. want to be taken. This is why when you ask a chick out, you don't go, I don't know, what do you want to do?
Right.
They don't like that. They go, they want, I know a Italian place, it's the best, I'm friends with the owner, you're going to love it. I've said too much. I'll pick you up at 8. That's yeah. the way it works. They love the fantasy of, this is why they like, they want to ride, they want to go horseback riding, they don't have any fantasies about a horse riding them. They want to.
I
know a couple of chicks.
You saw a few of those movies in Germany. Yeah. I'm just saying they like to be swept away.
Sure. And group relations, is that just three? What is a group? How many can there
anything
be?
Over a couple, I don't think is a group. A three-way is probably a few ways, so a minimum of four.
Crowd scene.
Yeah.
Eyes wide shut.
I deduct myself from the three-way.
You do.
I don't count myself.
Right.
As part of the three-way?
Yeah. So when I'm doing a three-way, it's just
people.
A two-way.
Is that because...
And when I'm doing a two-way, it's really just a one-way.
Because sometimes it's very difficult to tell with you whether you are an incredible blowhard one day and just the shyest guy that means
nothing.
I
don't count myself.
Right, that's why I was going there. That sometimes you portray yourself as a man who thinks very little of himself.
Well, that's my thing.
So I wonder, do you not count yourself... Because the three-way revolves around me. I'm Adam Carolla. This is your three-way you get to have with me. It's a favor to you. Or do you not count yourself as, because you don't really count and you're not part of it and you're not important enough? It's a psychological question as to your importance to the three-way.
I don't know. I just tell the ladies, get started and don't mind me. I'm not even here.
Oh. You know, that's not bad. That's the way to go.
Not.
Absolutely. Because otherwise, can I tell you the truth about a three-way involving two chicks?
All right,
this
hold
one
on.
Disappointed chick.
Yes. Yes, we need to take a break.
No, more sex.
Yes. Well, this is one way to end the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
We'll take quickie. We'll be back right after this. Well, I want to thank Frank. Hank Vincent from The Sopranos, Sunday night, 9 o'clock, HBO. Want to thank David Koechner. He's got a little benefit for the CHD Foundation. Nice guy, nice cause.
Nice guy.
Yep. IO West in Hollywood is where it's at. And Teresa Strasser tonight, TV water cooler. See how beautiful she is. And that's with the 10 pounds the lens adds. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Look at him. He thinks he's a person.